Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Color Only Day here on CNM with our very own Vincent Brown out of Durham, North Carolina. Black by Color Only is one of the most informative shows on CNM, giving us the reasons that the apostles of blackness are leading this nation in the wrong direction, along with the left. And Vincent will come down on the right too when they do not do what is right. Listen to the wisdom of Vincent Brown on Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will find out that the media is lying to us too, along with the leftists in our government. Some of the right are too, and in Hollywood also. He will make you use your mind and think a bit before making a rash judgment. That is Black by Color Only, only on CNM at 5 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays, where America always wins.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne Show, Sundays 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
Joseph Gibson is running for the House of Representatives in North Carolina's District 65. We have to start voting for patriots who love this nation, and conservative nation media proudly endorses him. Joseph Gibson is one of those patriots, and it's not too late. We need to start realizing that there is not a different truth for everyone. As the liberals say, there is only one truth. A vote for Joseph Gibson for North Carolina's District 65 will help bring back the integrity Americans have been missing. Paid for by the committee to elect Joseph Gibson to the North Carolina House District 65. See you at the polls, patriots.
Well, what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans. We have no option.
Show me where it said that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
They go low, he kicks.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. Even if he lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face. And then got mad at the race. He would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said, if we're in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
We'll be right back.
welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
Okay, hello everybody. Good to see everyone here. Bing just showed up, which is cool. One of the things that I wanted to talk about this week, and I had done my beginning, my synopsis of my show as to being part of history. Well, to me, this is part of history. What happened with this Robert Herr and his report on President Biden? The first two paragraphs tell everything, and they both go completely against each other. The first one, and I've got all 388 pages of this thing on my computer, but I printed out about the first 20 pages. But it starts out by saying, "We conclude that no criminal charges are warranted in this matter. We would reach the same conclusion even if Department of Justice policy did not foreclose criminal charges against the sitting president." That's the first paragraph. The second one: "Our investigation uncovered evidence that that President Biden willfully, now remember this, willfully retained and disclosed classified materials after his vice presidency when he was a private citizen. These materials include 1, marked classified documents about military and foreign aid in Afghanistan; 2, notebooks containing Mr. Biden's handwritten entries about issues of national security and foreign policy implicating sensitive intelligence sources and methods. FBI agents uncovered these materials from garages, offices, and a basement den in Mr. Biden's Wilmington, Delaware home." Now, to me, the first paragraph says they're not going to press any charges. The second paragraph essentially says charges must be set. And I've already got Joe Gibson calling, getting ready to one in here, and Boyd, I've brought you all in, or you two anyway. Pionki is there too. Oh, come on now. Hello, everybody. Hello, Lorianne.
Hey, how you doing?
Fisher.
Greetings. Happy Friday.
Bing Fisher, where in the hell have you been hiding? I haven't seen you for damn near 8 years.
Yeah, Bing is in the house, and I love it.
I'm sorry. Hi guys, but Bing, it's good to see you, buddy.
Yeah, it definitely is. I keep advertising that his show is going
to
be returning.
I think that's Bing's cue to call in so we can bring him on the line so everybody can say hi to him. Hint, hint.
But to me, those first two paragraphs that I read essentially go against each other. First one says no charges are warranted, but the second paragraph says all the charges are warranted. So that is the beginning of the talking points for tonight. Hello, everyone. I see that Pionki is there, and I think Sarge just showed up. I'm not really sure yet, but wait until he raises his hand. But I'm glad to see that Bing is here, and Boyd, and Joseph, and
gunslinger?
One of the subjects I'd like to bring up that coincides with that, it's about the control. And it's the mind games that they play, the words that they use, and the double talk that they use. You just said it yourself in the opening there. But one paragraph they say one thing, and then the next they say another. And
exactly.
And if you look at the media, and the corporate media, that's what they do. They're everything they say, the left-right paradigm shift of the programming of the people, has got everybody like pinballs, like a pinball machine. And nobody knows what the hell the facts are.
Yep. Well, that's one of the reasons why I downloaded this whole thing. I wanted to see what it said after Biden got on there and says, I knew this was going to go this way because nothing could have been done about it. I was innocent the whole time at bull heck. That guy is about as innocent as a box of rocks dropping onto a baby.
Yeah, I think I'm somebody said the other night that he was a body double, that wasn't the real Joe Biden. I'm telling you, he does look different. If you look at the pictures from Obama, when Obama was president, to the guy now, he does look a lot different. His ears are different, you know, and his facial expressions are different. He's obviously more retarded, but you know, I just don't who knows, you know.
Yeah. It's amazing the things that's going on right now. But this one here was one I wanted to start the show with, because it's like you said, the first paragraph says one thing and then they just 180 degrees flip right out of it and go into another, just completely go in another direction.
Well, they do that for a reason. They're doing it for a reason. You know, and it's everything that's in the corporate media, you have to take with a grain of salt. You have to be very careful about what you're reading. Because even when I see stories or when we hear about it, we run with it. And you got to be careful, because nothing really could be farther from the truth nine times out of ten. Just look at what they did with me. And I got a wake-up call there again when they started writing stories about me. I'm like, nothing, it's all fake. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's 90% of it's fake. So I got a wake-up call. Donald Trump's right. It's fake news. Fake.
Yep. Yeah. And you know, I keep saying the same thing. You know, they keep and I got my first thumbs down this week on my update, because I did a update on this whole thing, how they didn't charge Biden, but they're still going after Trump, whereas Biden actually did the things that they're not going to charge him for, and Trump didn't. So and I got a thumbs down. So I guess I had a troll in there somewhere. But it was kind of fun. I took it as a badge of honor.
Well, yeah, you have to. I mean, are you still blocked from YouTube?
Oh, absolutely. I'm completely blocked off of there.
Yeah.
I can go in and watch stuff, but I cannot post comments or anything else, because it says that I need to sign in and won't let me sign in.
You did something. You said something that really pissed them. You did a trigger word. You did some kind of trigger phrase that threatened the establishment somehow. And that's why you're banned. You know, I'm on some platforms like that where I've said something and you just don't know what it was, but you did something that pissed them off.
I know exactly what it was.
Oh, okay.
I know exactly what it was. I did a update about. It's been about a year and a half ago now when I first got banned, and it was about masks and how they didn't work. And I brought in a doctor who had 30 years experience in it, and he said that they didn't work, and I got banned for it.
Really? That's the truth. Matter of fact, I'm glad we've walked into that subject here. Actually, I got a request. I tried to do it the other night on my show, but it was about the masks and about how – people are so easily sheeple, how they'll comply with the rules no matter what. To listen to like this guy say this, to talk like this, it's sickening that the American people are so complacent, and the apathy of people, it was like another wake-up call back when this COVID thing, like these people that cooperated, like sheep, like lemmings, you know, running around with masks, driving in the cars with masks, you know? I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's insane.
And it's getting worse all the time.
And this is an important subject to discuss, because remember, when Donald Trump gets elected – which I'm not so sure now because I think these migrants that have come over that are voting are going to flip. I mean, they're really going. The number of votes, we just don't have them anymore, you know, on a national level. I mean, I mean, because there were some special elections, I think, last week, and they were saying that some Republicans were supposed to win, I think. I'm not too sure. I caught the tail end of it on Glenn Beck, but they were saying, like, that they can't get in the number of votes to win, the Republicans, in a lot of these races. And I think a lot of it's because these 30, 40 million people that have come over here, that, they, you know, they're going to be, you know, they don't need to cheat now, the Democrats. They don't need to rig the election. We just don't have the votes. We've got too many dumb people out there now.
Yeah, that's for sure. And the problem comes in with the border being wide open like it is. Even New Mexico is starting to push on getting a border wall put up, which is kind of amazing because we're but it's kind of scary.
Yeah, it is. It's scary because we're going to find out that if this would be the case, if Trump loses, say, by a lot, and we see across the country a lot of the, you know, in my district, I know we're mainly Republicans. I mean, we're 2-1. We outnumber the Democrats. So, but in a lot of these places across the country in these toss-up races, you know, we're going to find out maybe that, you know, there's 40 million people. You know, these people can there, and they're going to let these, a lot of these people vote. They're letting them become police officers. You know, I mean, so we're going to find out that we're in trouble. That's when it comes to the point where we have to enforce the Constitution. Mm-hmm. That's where the gut check's going to come in with the people, the minority out here, because we're going to be the minority, the conservatives. And we have to really grow up. And we're going to have to put our foot down and say, no, that's unlawful, that's unconstitutional, and we're not going to comply, period.
Even here in New Mexico, they've had Democrats that have gone completely away from what the governor wants. And a year ago, they would fall in behind her lock, stock, like the Hitler Youth. So it was, but now they're not. And right now we've got 4 Republicans running for the Senate and the House here in New Mexico, and all 4 of them have a good chance of winning.
Well, that's good news then. That's good news. But, you know, I think in other places, it just depends, I guess, where we're at in the country. But, you know, obviously you're down by the border down there, so the people are really feeling it. You know, but if you go up to a place like Nebraska, Montana, you know, or the Pacific Northwest, you know, or Northeast, forget about it. The liberals have total control. I mean, my nephew in Connecticut, he was telling me he makes $25 an hour at this scrap metal shop. And he told me the amount of money they're taking out of his check every week for taxes. It's insane. Over 60% of his check is wiped out in taxes, state tax, income tax, Social Security. I mean, it's I can't believe it. The cost of living up there, it's insane. I said, no way would I ever go for that.
Well, you know, used to be that New Mexico had some of the lowest housing in the nation, and we're no longer anywhere near that one. Right? We're towards the upper end of it now.
Yeah.
And it's all because
the average rent,
liberal post.
Yeah, $1,500 for a 2-bedroom apartment. $1,500 a month for a 2-bedroom apartment. What are you, nuts? You know, I just can't believe it.
I'm paying right now $1,075 for a 2-bedroom, 2-bath, 2-balcony apartment with a fireplace. So I think I'm doing
pretty
good. And all utilities
included. Wow. And
that's
$400 or $500 for,
that's rare.
You know.
That is really cheap, and I don't know how you manage that, but that's really cheap for a 2-bedroom apartment for sure.
And it includes in the complex, it includes a swimming pool, laundromat, and we're a secure building, so you have to have a key to get into it. But and all of our utilities are included, so it's actually I don't want to move.
Yeah, I would never pay rent. I would always, you know, I would never rent a place. I would have to, you know, I would have saved up or buy a house or something. Rent, I believe, is just a waste of money. Your rent, you know, it's just, you don't own it. You're never going to own it. I mean, you're just throwing money out unless you're able to save while you're renting, but that's, you know, a fat chance. You know, I mean, I just don't, it's just like renting a car. You know, you're just throwing money away. It's not yours, you know?
Yep, that's for sure. I mentioned
I'm just
about,
curious. I'm looking up the apartments that I used to live in before I got my house. You know, I got my house 8 years ago, and I had a two-bedroom, two-bath, second-floor apartment with a big balcony, kind of like their nicest one. And when I left, I was paying $1,025 per month, and they were going to be raising the rent like a little over $200, like $225 or something on me. And now I'm looking. That same apartment is $1,895 a month, $1,900 a month. And that's not including utilities. Yeah, and they do pet rent and the whole shit too, which I think that's just a bunch of loaded crap, this pet rent thing. That's what they were going to start charging too when I got my house. And I was just like, you know, there's no way. And so now looking here 8 years later, $1,900 for the same apartment. That is just unbelievable for two bedroom, two bath.
Yeah. I think about 35 years ago, I lived in a two-bedroom house back about six blocks from where I'm at now, and we were paying $395 a month for that thing, and now it's about $2,500 for that same house.
Huh.
Wow.
Well, I don't know. Cost of living. I mean, it's just insane, the cost of living. I don't see any cure in the future for it because of the, you know, until the monetary policy changes in this country. I really think they got the final grip on us.
I totally agree with you on that one. But I know I've got Bianchi in the on the queue for the phone, and we got a Skype number there. So I'm not really sure who that is yet, but so, Joe, how is your campaign going? How's everything going there?
Well, early voting started yesterday. And, you know, I like I said, you know, we'll have to see on, you know, the results. But the vibe I'm getting is pretty positive. I mean, this guy's not well-liked at all. So, I mean, but you never know. I mean, the polls that I took, it says that I'm winning. So people I've spoken to, and I've spoken to a few that hung up on me, a few that didn't support me, but for the most part, you know, they listened and, you know, they want somebody new and they like my ideas. You know, I guess the media did not persuade them. But again, like I said, we don't know what damage they've done with that Nazi crap, you know?
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, you know, I've, been playing your ad here, and I've noticed that the one I did put on Rumble has had close to 150 views so far, and that's way more than anything I've ever had in there. So it's being seen, and I can see the numbers going up every day. So it's being seen, which is
that's
to
good.
Me that's awesome. I'm glad that it is, and I've been like putting the ad link into the chat rooms when I go into a room or into a show to watch. I usually put the link in there and more show up. So it's I'm kind of excited about that. That's pretty cool.
Oh, all right. That's good. That's done more than any of your other videos? Wow.
More than any of them that I've known so far. I mean, I can go back 4 or 5 years and it's still not quite there.
Oh,
right now it's showing 140. So this morning it was at 133 or something like that. So it's going up, which is really awesome.
No, that's cool then. I'm glad it's bringing people to your channel and maybe watching other stuff too, you know?
Yeah. And I can go back like, 7-3 of 2023, and that one's had 16 views and 10 unique views. So it's really not that many, but yours is really going up there. So I like that. That's good.
Well, I guess I'm a pretty popular name, I guess. I don't know. I mean, that's what everybody's always told me. I've had more of a national name than a local name, so who knows, you know? I mean, like the last guy said there, he said, I got more media coverage, you know. It was a good point. I got more media coverage than anybody.
That's awesome.
They ran a story every night about me.
Yeah. Well, the update that I did, I think it was day before yesterday, I did one on when – Alejandro Mayorkas had been impeached, and that one's had 74 so far. So that one's getting up there too.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm glad that yours is doing good and that it's constantly going up. So that's a good thing. I'm glad to hear that. See that. So.
Well, like I said, bringing more people to your channel, too, and getting the info, because he's got other videos on there. So bring more people to your podcast, more people to the channel. That's the goal, really. When I bring a goal to everybody else's show, I'm trying to bring people to your shows. I mean, I know I am. I got to be, you know, because there's people that I know are friends of mine that are listening, you know. So, you know, I mean, that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, I just got a thing from Newsmax saying that a massive RC Boeing 747 crashes. Oh boy! Did you hear that that New York judge pressed down on Trump and said he has to pay $334 million? They're doing everything they can to make sure they can make him totally broke.
Well, he can appeal that, right? He can appeal that. That's appealable.
He says he's going to. And but to me,
because he probably doesn't have that much in assets. You know, he's got it in assets and everything, but he'd probably have to liquidate some stuff to pay that. You know.
Oh, absolutely. He says he's not going to pay it, and they're gonna go after trying to get that taken away. But
if he's elected, Robert, if he's elected, he needs to do everything in the power of the presidency and within the Constitution to go after all them son of a bitches. You know, even go on above and beyond. What the hell? Why not? They do it, you know, eye for an eye, you know?
Yeah, it's getting to that point where, you know, if we don't do that kind of thing to them, they're just going to continue getting worse and worse all the time. But, you know, it's funny when some Republican somewhere or some I think I even saw something with a libertarian where they didn't go with what was going on with the left and how they're doing things, and they just hit a big thing where they said, "Oh, you're not playing fair. You're not doing what's right. You're not doing everything the way it should be done." Well, neither are they.
No, they don't. They don't, you know, and we have to fight like that anyway. If we're, you know, because otherwise that's why we've been getting destroyed in the information war and everything. We've got to take it to their asses, basically. You know, I mean, they've been doing it to us. We got to do it to them. You know, same thing.
And I just brought Pianchi in. But he ain't
doing Pianchi. He's eating. How are you going to eat and talk on the radio, man? Come on now.
I think you just brought me in, Gunslinger.
Oh. Robert, who you brought on, man?
Well, we've got you and Boyd and Pianchi and Lorianne. And then I've got a Skype number that's just sitting there, so I'm not sure whether that's Sarge or one of the others, Nodge or heck, I forgot his name.
John Doe.
Yeah.
John Doe.
John Doe likes to kick back and listen. And yep.
And then in the chat room, we've got Bing Fisher, and he says he's going to call in a little bit. That'd be cool. It was neat to see him show up.
If nobody's got anything to say, can I get your permission to play this little clip real quick about this mask? I mean, if only thing, unless people got something to say. I mean, I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but We're not, you know, nobody seems to be jumping in here.
Go ahead.
I mean, you know, it's on topic pretty much about the masks and everything, so let me see if I can get it up. But, yeah, I wanted to do it the other night, but everyone just took over my show and just they just kept on talking. So, all right, let me play it real quick. This has to do with the masks. So that's a store I called. I got into a big debate with them about the masks. If I can get it going, I don't know if I can get it going. Yeah, it figures. Live, there it goes, my internet.
Yeah. Okay, now I've got two Skype numbers, and one of them raised his hand.
About a mask. Where's my show up? I'm going to call here.
I'm going to
find out why
I'm running. Can I get your permission to play this real quick?
Sure.
Oh, that's not any working, Robert. Sorry. It's not working.
Okay. Mm. Well, I just brought in one Skype number.
Yeah, you were talking,
yeah,
and
I
was talking.
Yeah, I thought I'd just call in and remove all doubt. I don't want you to agonize about who's got any of the Skype numbers or anything. You know me, Robert. I'm always eager to help. And if this helps you in any way, then I feel that I've accomplished my purpose.
Absolutely. And you always seem to help.
So how you doing? How's it going?
I'm tired today. I had to work until about 5:30, so I didn't get home until about 6 or so. I was running kind of late to get my studio going, and thank goodness I don't have to put too much together in that.
All right, Robert,
I
got it up.
You got it?
Yeah, I got it up right now.
Bring it on.
You'll like this. You'll like this.
I don't hear anything.
Hey, how you doing tonight? I was in there a little bit earlier, and one of the employees there, he got a little upset with me because I wasn't wearing a mask, and I was just curious. He said it was a law, that it was for me to wear a mask, and I was just curious as to what law it was.
Back and look at the Greensboro Council had put out a mandate for all establishments to wear, is required to wear a mask when you come in, and therefore they're the ones who put that out there. All establishments are supposed to be adhering to it, food line, restaurants, anything that was in the Guilford County. And if you notice it, when you came to the door, on the door, it shows you that a mask is required. And if you do not have your mask, then you will is required to either leave or go ahead and put one on. And we don't make the rules there. And all we do is just enforce what's given to us. Until it changes, then we just go with what we have, what is on the door. And if you come back and see on your next visit, then you will see that that mask thing is on the door for everyone. So anyone who comes through the door, a mask is required. And that's what was put out by the city council.
Yeah, is that a law, though? Is it a law? Because I was just wondering, because you said it was a mandate. Is that a law? Because I just can't.
Well,
I mean,
give me a moment. Give me a moment.
Okay.
Hey, where's that? Give me that one right there. Okay. It's called face covering requirement indoors regardless of vaccinated status. The Guilford County business owners, the Guilford County business owners. The Guilford County Board of Health has approved a COVID-19 indoor mask rule for businesses, establishments, and public places effective 25 August 21. That means individuals 5 years or older, regardless of vaccination status, must wear a face covering when indoors in all business establishments and public places. All businesses, establishments, and public places must require that all persons 5 years and older, regardless of vaccination status, wear face covering when indoors or on their premises. Exemption under limited circumstances are outlined in the rules. You can visit the health of the www.healthaidguilford.biz to find rules, checklists, download resources, and compliance. This rule will mainly affect the 8th January 22 until the Guilford County vaccination rate reaches 70% or its positive rate is at or below 5% or for three consecutive weeks. And I think that's what they had a vote on today, this evening. I don't know. I don't know what the outcome of it is. But
is it a law? I'm just wondering, is it a law?
No, it's a requirement from the public itself, and this is something that the public did. Right. So if you come in, it's required that you do have face covering. It doesn't make a difference where you.
Oh, God.
At the front door of a business open to the public.
Well, it's like this.
Right?
Well, this is what it's saying. If you come in here to do business, it's required that you have a face covering. If you do not want to comply to that, then you have to leave. So we do not have to sell to you.
So wear a mask.
Well, number one, until this mandate, this what I just read to you, until they downtown make that decision, then if they take it off, if they say they changed it, they changed the rules on what they're doing, then we follow those rules. But when you come upon the door to enter, when you come upon the door to enter, it's required that a face covering is required. It's right here on the door. Now, if you come through the door, one of us will let you know that he or she will need a mask. I can understand
that. Can I just ask you, what does the mask do to protect us?
Hmm.
Sir,
I understand it.
Young man,
at all.
Listen to me. If you want to find out that information of what it does, I don't get into all of the specifics and everything. I just follow the rules that they have. And that's something that you will have to get in. Who was it with? You go to www.gifforfounding. If they send this memo out, okay. But for specific, when it comes down to the question, when it comes down to wearing the mask inside the facility, inside the store, that's what is required. Whichever ABC store, whichever ABC store that you visit here in Greensboro, it's going to be required that you have a mask before you can enter into business.
So, as far as anything else
beyond that one, I don't know. I ain't got anything to do with rights. If you want to know anything else, as I stated, you can, it's www, give me a moment, I'll be GiffordCountyNC.gov. That's who you are. Going to that website for the rules that they have online. You got any additional rules? That's who you are.
Hmm.
I don't.
You know, that was okay back then. I'm just trying to say a right is a right. If we allow our rights to stand at the front door and we allow people to discriminate against someone who believes a personal belief because there's no facts based upon what that mask requirement is, it's just like skin color. If a black man...
Once again, I understand that. But my stance on it is... Here, they have this rule. This is what they ask us to do. That's what I'm doing. I don't get into the specifics of what you're saying. I understand that. But when you come in here, this is the rule that we have to apply. That's all
and
I can
everybody
say.
Abide
as far as rights,
if everybody abided by the rules, though, we wouldn't have rights today. We wouldn't have any rights, and we wouldn't have an American today.
Well, we can agree to disagree, but once again, when it comes down to us here at the job, we have the rules. This is what they ask us to do, and that's what we do. So anyone that comes through. Sir?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I told you once again, man, I don't get into the specific of all of that. All I know, this is the rule. This is what they ask. Even on Mother's Day, they have the rules. But this is what I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know how they got it set up. If they were to go in the food line and see that they will find the store. Not the individual, but the store. They'll find the store. Now, for us, like we said, all we do is just abide by what the rules, what they ask us to do. So if anyone comes in or comes through that door, you can understand it. We require them to get a mask or have them to get a mask before they can come any further. And I'm going to say about 90-95% of the people that comes through, they go ahead, put it on. They ain't in here but a few
shirts. Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
They need more everybody to go. You know.
Yeah.
You know. And that's all we do.
Why not? I mean, imagine
if
3% of the population didn't agree, didn't comply with the taxes and didn't stand up to the British. Imagine, we wouldn't have a country today.
I think we have a country, but once again, you know, we have the rules. I mean, I'm not here to, you know.
And that's basically what he did for about another 5 minutes. The rules. You know,
yeah.
I mean, what do we do with people like that? You know, how do you, I mean, because I was just beating my head with him. I would argue with him. He just would not give in. You know, he would not even recognize my point of view. You know, so what do we do? And that's the people that got beat up, arrested, thrown in jail. We got people from January 6th sitting in jail right now, political prisoners all across the country because. We comply. We comply and we give in and just go along. Like he said, we can agree to disagree. I hate when people say that. I hate that because no. We will never agree. We will never agree. And we will always disagree, you know, and that's the way it's got to be. There has to be a winner here, you know, because there's no middle ground when it comes to my rights, you know, and this is a danger.
Yep. And I just found a T-shirt. That actually tells exactly the way they think. It says, give a Democrat a fish and he'll eat all day. Teach a Democrat to fish and he'll steal your rod, take your wallet, assault the fish, and blame Trump.
Yeah. I mean, and this is what we talk about on these podcast shows. This is what we talk about. These are the discussions that we have. And it's just like I just don't see progress being made. It's like the voting thing that Lorianne and I made out a few months ago. It's, again, you know, you keep repeating this stuff over and over and over and over. We have to, you know, because it just seems like people just don't get it. They don't get it. You know, they just don't understand.
I don't know about you guys, but listen to that guy. Deciding in that monotone, those endless bureaucratically inspired, simple-minded rules with such deadpan acceptance was one of the most depressing things I think I've ever heard in my entire
exactly,
life.
Sarge. Exactly.
I mean,
that's why I wanted to play that. Yep.
Dismay. It was utterly depressing. The simple mindlessness which would seem to set this regime. I mean, it was simply depressing. It wasn't an irony about it, or maybe a bit of, disgust at what he was being told. They said this is what I got to do, so I got to do it. And it's nothing more for me to think about. It was just depressing. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
But I have not been this depressed losing somebody.
It is depressing. You're right. And that's why I wanted to play that. But it was a perfect example of what we have to deal with out there. And that is terrible for an American citizen to act like that. It's terrible. It's sad.
Well,
what have we become in America?
I mean, they'll do it again. That's our point. Like, we think that this is in the past. Oh, it's all over with.
I know.
You know, that's all that. No, it's not over with. They'll do it again. There are still universities that require the COVID jab if you want to attend their college. You know,
yeah.
It still continues.
Yep. It is, Sarge. Yeah, that was Lorianne and Sarge. Good key points. They're going to do it again. And Sarge, that is depressing. It is. It was depressing. You know?
You know, I mean, we got to understand that government is a necessary tool. Let's not kid ourselves. Having worked for government and understanding the way government
rationalize many of the laws they pass. The only thing I can say about government, while it is absolutely essential to prevent anarchy, chaos, if you don't keep a rein on it, what you will get from it is just about as bad as the anarchy and chaos. If you don't keep it within prescribed boundaries and keep it to a minimum that is necessary for a civilly functioning society. But let's not kid ourselves. Government is necessary, but it is a necessary evil. And let us not get back.
No, it's necessary. Yeah, of course it's necessary. We're a country of laws. You know, not laws of men, you know, but laws. We're a country of laws. You know, like Adam said, you know, we have to have a rule of law, a standard to go by. It's the Constitution, the foundation document, a Bill of Rights that gives us the right to determination for self-government. You know, but in a way, you know, it's man, I just don't know where we got the law.
It's capricious laws that bug me. You know what I saw in the news today? I saw some rat, some demon rat, congresswoman, in response apparently to what happened in Lakewood. You know, this transgender freak tried to shoot up the church and was stopped because two cops were there, center punched her ass before she could do any more damage. In response to this, apparently, this poor Democrat has introduced a law saying that you cannot hire security. If security kills anyone in the process of defending a church, there are criminal sanctions to be involved, and the church can be sued. In other words, this fool Democrat wants to make defending a church, defending yourself in a church, illegal with firearms. I mean, I cannot believe these people sometimes. Now, I don't think the bill is going to go anywhere. The point of the matter is that it was introduced. And remember, their insanity, all it has to do is get a toehold. It may take a little bit of time, maybe a few years, but in time, given the way these rats' minds work, it will become mainstream in their party, and then they'll try to export it as mainstream to the rest of the country. It's just being unbelievable.
Yeah, that's exactly how they work.
Yeah, yep. They keep hitting us, you know. They may not win. They may not knock us down, but eventually they'll get lucky. And then they get one through, and then, you know, before you know it, so, you know, it's a machine. It's a new world order that attacks and feeds on you, you know, and that's what it does. And it just keeps stripping away our liberties. The founders gave us something so powerful and strong, and it's taken them a long time to erode it away. And sure enough, today we're not really free, man. We are so far from free. You know, we got to get a license to do everything. You know, we have to get permission to do anything.
Well, listen to this law, by the way, so you know what it is. There's a Senator Edward Markey, a Democrat in Massachusetts. The legislation would prevent churches around the country from using a security services unit comprised of concealed carriers in congregations and parishes. And the bill is called the Preventing Private Military Act of 2024. It's co-sponsored by some senator named LaFonza Butler, a Democrat from California. These people want to export their insanity and make it normal. So now they don't want you to be able to protect yourself with security forces that are trained and armed and concealed in the church. And here's what it says. It says that if an active shooting situation takes place, and the shooter was killed or injured by the church security team, this proposed law would make members of the security team subject to criminal penalties that range from 5 years to life in prison.
Wow.
The bill says this. This is from the bill. The quote, in the case of a violation that results in bodily injury, it doesn't specify what caused the bodily injury. It just says, in case of bodily injury, the person shall be fined under this title, imprisoned for not more than 5 years or both, or death. The person shall be fined under this title and imprisoned for any term of years or for life. So
not
we're
may,
crazy
not
transgender
shall.
In Lakewood, that insane transgender lunatic should have been allowed to shoot up that church in Texas with impunity, because if you kill her, kill him, whatever it was, you kill it, then damn it, you're the one going to jail and could even be up for the death penalty. They got it in your state.
Oh, man. Not me, shall. Big words in law.
I'm not going to go anywhere right now, but these are Democrats. Let's not forget. They never stop. Never. If they're frustrated initially, they just put it on the back burner so they think the time is more right for a later try. Look at where we are now. Who would have thought homosexual marriage ever had a chance of passing? Being imposed on the states by the federal government in a federal Supreme Court. Who would have thought that could ever have happened? But it did.
I know.
All the time.
Yep.
These people do not stop. Don't let them ridicule you out of any position that you can see them gradually inching their way toward. Because if you let them get away with it, you give them a millimeter, they will take a kilometer.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, man. It's dangerous times we live in. Very dangerous. I mean, just look at the gun control. The Heller thing, how close that came. That came so close to us losing our Second Amendment. 5-4 votes.
If you want to see how arbitrary these people are, how they just make up let laws as they go along, look at what they're doing to our former president in New York State. I mean, you have Letitia James. And I remember I played that video right here on this show and on your show of Letitia James saying proudly with a smirk on her face that the judge had determined the outcome of the trial before it went to trial. She was proud of that. She was happy. She was happy to announce to the world in a videotape, the judge has decided the case before it goes to trial. And now he comes up with this insane $350-some million. Just made it up out of the top of the head, completely unprecedented. No entrepreneur or businessman in New York State is ever been charged with this crime when there was no victim complaining of any wrongdoing. Not banks. Not any individual, not anyone. The state, this attorney general who campaigned to, quote, get, unquote, Donald Trump, campaigned on it, which should have been an ethical violation for which he should have been disbarred, campaigned on it, won an election, and then proceeded to enact the agenda that she told everybody about. Kind of like Hitler and Mein Kampf saying he was going to invade Russia. Nobody took him seriously. He didn't be serious about it. This woman was serious about what she said about Donald Trump. She did it.
Well, Sarge, you remember on Donnie C's show last week, that woman that called in, you see how they edged their way in? Well, you know, I listen to y'all, and, you know, I like to listen to both sides. You're both wrong. You know, listen, don't give me that. The liberal, their policies are off the wall, off the hook, all totally dysfunctional and illegal. You know, period. You know, end of story. You know, it ain't no compromising, man.
I have no patience for being in the middle of the road because that's where you get run over. Take one lane or the other. You get run over in the middle of the road. Look, as far as I'm concerned, things are right or wrong. It's like I said, what's going on in Fulton County. I wouldn't care if the person on trial was accused of pederast or rapist or a burglar, a mass murderer. Prosecutorial misconduct is prosecutorial misconduct, no matter who the defendant is. And for her and all the others to try to sit there and pretend that somehow the magnitude of the crime that they have accused someone of obviates their need to apply and comply with professional ethics and the law, that is an argument I don't even want to hear. And that's what I heard.
Yep.
This arrogant, silly woman, this vapid fool, who doesn't even understand how she is bound by the regulations regarding ethics. She said she didn't know about them. She literally said that under oath. She didn't know what her ethical obligations in her job as a professional district attorney bound her to. She said that under oath. And somehow she thinks that somehow all that could be set aside because she says Donald Trump tried to steal an election, and that's who should be paying attention, and not me. You should let me off the hook because Donald Trump tried to steal an election, and guess what? I said he did. And that's it.
Total nonsense.
This is the way these people think. And they actually think we're not supposed to scrutinize it. Yeah, that's right. That's right. They can try to steal an election. Nothing else matters.
Yeah, yeah, nothing, yeah, yeah. He's a racist. He's a racist. That's right. He's a racist.
So I can just go ahead and be corrupt as hell. I can be up here trying to rig the system for my little boyfriend lover to get all kind of money. I can make false filings and statements. I can perjure myself on the witness stand. It doesn't, none of it matters. None of it matters. I'm going after Donald Trump. He should allow me to get away.
That's right. That's right. You're right, sir. You don't. That's
it. This is the country we are coming toward. An arbitrary and capricious system of tyranny described as phony constitutionality.
Yep. And no respect for law and order, no respect for the public. I'm very much anti-police and authority. But we have to have cops. We got to have law and order. We got to have a system. You got to have respect for the system itself, you know. And you judge the person not by his uniform, by his character, you know, and the job that they do, you know. I mean, come on, man.
Law enforcement officer of a major county in the United States behaving in this manner. I don't know what it takes, why it even takes this long to get rid of her. She's on oath making a statement she made, and she every day she exists in that office is an affront to the rule of law. Every single hour that she remains in that office, she has proved herself to be unworthy of it. She doesn't even know the rules regarding prosecutorial ethics. She said it was a surprise to her that she had to report a $100 debt. Bound her to report. She was surprised that she had to report to the court any personal relationships with any intimate personal relationships with any officer of the court. She didn't know she had to report it. It's just unreal. But this is what we're getting these days.
Dangerous. Dangerous.
Well, I'd have to say something, you know, about the Trump court case today. If I had a business corporation, multi-million-dollar corporation, based in New York, incorporated under New York law, I would be getting the fuck out of town because they just done told. Every fucking body that if you don't play by our rules the way we want you to play, we're coming after you, and we can do it. We just proved it.
Yeah, but it's easier said than done. You know, when you have a big corporation like Trump, you know, you got roots there, you got, you know, your foundations there. It's very hard to relocate, you know.
That's true, but as a corporation, and the fact that you are a fiduciary of all of your stockholders and stuff in your corporation, do you think you're able to take that risk with other people's monies? And the corporation take a little hit in your overall budget and get the fuck out of Dodge.
Well, I would submit to you it is impossible to make a profit when a judge arbitrarily imposes a $364 million fine upon you and then disallows you from conducting business in the state for a year. So no matter what, if you can't make a profit, there's no point in being in the state because they take it all away in fines.
Well, I can understand the amount of the fine. I can understand the amount of the fine. That I can. Because they got to find some money somewhere to be able to support all those illegal aliens they're importing.
I don't think that's what they're intending for, but you know, I don't think that's where we go. But that's not a problem. That's a smokescreen. You know, it's the cost and everything. You know, again, we have a Federal Reserve printing press. You know, it's all fake. It's a debt-based system. They're just, you know, inflation and everything. It's all adjusted. Adjustments, ledgers, book notes, key entries by account ledger sheets, you know, as well as digital now. But, you know, it's all fake. Fractional reserve banking, you know?
Yeah, we can just put up another $31 trillion to pay.
Yeah,
minority groups reparations. It wouldn't mean anything to the economy. It wouldn't mean anything to buy your dollars. All your money to store in wheelbarrows and buy a loaf of bread.
See, Kyle.
Yeah, bro.
Well, you know, if you remember, you know, Trump moved out of New York. He moved to Mar-a-Lago, Florida. He said, fuck him. You know, that was where that Trump Tower. Yeah, I think that was his original stomping grounds.
Yeah.
He said, screw you. He moved to Florida. Do you blame him? No.
Yeah. Well, you want
to got out there years ago.
You want to beat that state income tax in New York. He ain't got to pay it no more in Florida.
Well, whatever it was, a smart move.
Yeah. No, I don't.
You know, in New Jersey, it's against the law to pump your own gas.
It was like that in Oregon too.
Do you guys want to hear about?
Not anymore. Oregonians. Last year, we finally got the ability to legally pump our own gas. Yes. Yeah. We woke
ability.
Up to, you know, 2024. Yeah. But, you know, it's like a choice, though. I filled up gas, and they still have the attendants out. You know, you can do it if you want to, but it looks like a lot of people still opt to just have the person pump it, you know. I know I do. When it's cold and rainy and crap out, you know, I'm like, yeah, go ahead. Do it for me. Or when it's 103 degrees outside again. Go ahead, do it for me.
Hey, did you hear about the cop down there in Florida? It must be something in the air, or they must have been taking too many alligator bites or something. I don't know what it is. But you go look it up on YouTube. It's actual footage. This cop had already arrested this person, and he was in handcuffs and in this SUV cruiser, right? Apartment complex. Right? He walks by his cruiser to open the door. One acorn fell from the tree, and he thought somebody was shooting at him. He rolls around on the ground and empties his whole clip into the back of his own police cruiser.
Oh, my Lord.
No
shit.
Oh,
my God. Not only that, well, then he reloads and he unloads again.
Reloads,
and then he thought he was hit. He's like, I'm hit. Memes are like going crazy about this.
You know, police officers are professional to handling your weapons, and you have to respect that.
My God. It even showed the video of the acorn hitting the top of the car. It showed it.
Like we allowed acorn now.
He had a restrained, handcuffed person in the back seat. They were responding to apparently like a harassment or something complaint.
Yes.
So they literally he unloads.
He didn't even hit him. He didn't hit him.
I know the guy walked out of the way. He's still alive.
Yeah. Holy shit!
He didn't get a
shot. He had blanks in his gun.
Shit. If I was that guy in that cop car, I would turn around and sue them motherfuckers for every penny they had. Okay, for hiring a bazooka like that.
That was inexcusable. I can't even think of an acorn in the top of a car for a gunshot. I know it might be startling me, but to think it's gunfire?
Yeah.
Has this guy ever been shot at? Believe me. You know what a gunshot going past your ear sounds like. It, especially if it's a sonic bullet, nothing else sounds like it. It's a whip crack.
So, hey, Bing, what are your thoughts on some of this stuff? Hello?
Who are you referring to?
Bing. I don't hear him.
Sarge, your phone sounds like shit.
Yeah, it does, actually.
It does? Is this any better, or is that worse?
That's better.
I had a little boom too far away from my mouth, apparently. Okay. That's better. Good.
My New Year's resolution for everybody, I suggested, I guess nobody took it, learn how to talk on a cell phone on a podcast.
Yeah, how about now, Robert?
Sure.
Did you hear that the Kansas City Chiefs parade shooting suspects are being charged as minors?
Oh, my God.
I don't know what happened. I didn't even hear about it.
Yeah.
They made arrests, but they're charging them as minors.
Yeah. Dang.
I don't know what happened. What happened? Did somebody get killed?
Yes, a person was killed, and about 15 or 25 people were wounded in a mass shooting during the Kansas City Chiefs celebration parade.
Yep. I heard 22.
Mother of two was killed. 22 people were injured by the gunfire.
Yep.
Wow.
And they decided to charge these children as minors. They could have charged
them.
They may still do it yet. But as of now, they're being charged as minors.
No, did they commit the crime?
Well, the suspects, they got probable cause to arrest them, and if that holds up, then, I would think they would have the ability to change the charges to charge them as adults, which means you could find out their name.
Yeah.
And I did see in Missouri a child as young as the age of 12 can be determined to be tried as an adult.
That's
that
insane.
Is insane.
That's bullshit.
I mean, come on. What?
Well, look, hang on. If you're 12 years old and you pick up a lethal weapon and you intentionally point it at somebody, you know, you never point a gun at something unless you intend on destroying it. Okay? And that 12-year-old person pulls that trigger, that bullet's not going to come back. I'm sorry. You could say here, bullet, come back here. I didn't mean for you to come over there and shoot that son of a bitch in the head. They should be trying.
Yeah, but they don't know what they're doing at 12 years old.
I don't agree
You're not
with
fully
that.
Developed.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that.
Come on.
No way.
When you were 11 years old. If you're only 12 years old and you can be tried as an adult, then you may as well let 12-year-olds go and get their penises chopped off
when
and fake vaginas made, all of that stuff.
I knew exactly what a goddamn gun was. Okay?
As a matter of law, in most states consider the age of 7 to be the age of reason. Now, obviously, that should be judiciously applied. It certainly shouldn't be applied in a blanket manner. But I do believe that under certain narrowly tailored circumstances, it is entirely appropriate to charge a 12-year-old as an adult. Very rarely, under some circumstances.
Okay. I've got one for you. Bing says that they've got a new bill in Tennessee. Let's hear about that one. Hey, Bing.
What is the bill in Tennessee?
Hello, Bing. You're there.
Yeah. Ooh. Do you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Well,
we
first,
you
all hear me.
Yes, we do. Go ahead, Ben.
We can hear you.
Can't hear him.
Well, I hear him a little bit. Okay, Bing, go ahead. Tell us about that bill in Tennessee. Well, I don't hear you now.
Maybe his audio's going in and out or something.
Yeah, it could be. Hard telling. I hadn't heard anything about a bill in Tennessee. That's got my interest peaked now.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the bill in Tennessee won't be as outrageous as one in California.
I'd like to hear it. I'd like to know what it.
Hey, Bing, you there?
Yeah,
go ahead, Bing. Tell us about that bill. I guess he's having problems, so I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else know about it?
Yeah, I'm looking it up now.
All I know is when you're 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, your brain is not even fully developed yet. You know, you got to grow as a human being to make rational decisions, common sense decisions. Now, some people, some children are developed at that age. You know, some can do things as an adult, but we can't use it, like Sarge says, a blanket statement, as a blanket policy. You know, putting everybody in that category.
Absolutely. When you're 12 years, listen, when you're 12 years old, you know how to use your finger, don't you? Come on. Okay,
yeah,
he's
but you don't know how to make a decision.
I want to make it absolutely clear. The charge at 12-year-old would be such a rare occasion, it'd be akin to getting struck by lightning, all right? I mean, it should never be used in any manner but the most discriminating, most carefully examined circumstance. But again, biblically, the age of reason is 7, and under English common law, where children can begin to see the difference between right and wrong, has always been considered between the ages of 7 and 12. So I'm saying in very narrowly tailored circumstances with very specifically regarded individuals, then it is appropriate sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about those sometimes.
Well, yeah, I know, but everybody's different, though. You know, everybody's different.
That's
we can't say everybody's
saying
the same.
That, Joe. That's why I'm saying everyone is different. Human beings are cookie cutters. Human beings aren't stamped from cookie cutters. There are certain children who have different abilities to reason, right from wrong, at different ages, just like we know about child prodigies and child geniuses. I mean, why is it the same true for the ability to reason?
I'm calling bullshit on that. I'm calling bullshit.
Again,
child prodigy, who determines that? Who determines what, you know? I'm just calling bullshit on it.
A person who could do quantum physics at 11 years old, I think, rates as a child prodigy. They get tested. They do it as well as an adult. I say that person's the child prodigy.
That's right.
Okay,
there you
well,
go.
that might be your viewpoint on it, but there
no,
might be somebody else.
No, I think it is, because I don't think there are many 11 years old in the world who can do quantum physics. They are an exception. Name how many 11-year-old children are capable of doing quantum physics at 11 years old. But there are some. They are prodigies.
So, I mean, what are you looking for here? What's your basic
My
thing?
Argument is
that
when you say that, if I was to make an argument, say that every 12-year-old who commits a heinous crime should be charged as an adult, that would be absurd. Because as you point out, most 12-year-olds are incapable of truly distinguishing right from wrong. On the other hand, say that none of them are is every bit as absurd as saying all of them are.
We're not disagreeing with you, Sarge. I'm saying gunslingers saying all 12-year-olds should be charged. They're fully developed.
Well,
I
have to evaluate each individual as an individual. Each individual as an individual case. As an individual case, and the determination to be made by appropriate professionals who truly understand the human condition and can make a judicious determination.
Yeah. There are some 12-year-olds.
Okay, wait a minute. Who judges that? Does the government judge that? Does some kind
government,
of
yeah, government enforces
judge
the law.
That? Oh, the government. Oh, so, okay,
yeah,
so more government oversight. Okay, cool.
Can he ask the question, Sarge?
Great.
Can he ask the question, Sarge? Can he finish his question?
But government we have legislation to determine what is legal and illegal. That's how we determine these things.
Well, like Ronald Reagan said, people are not the problem. Government is. And that anytime you get the government involved, you're going to have problems. Sorry.
I agree.
I'm sorry. I'm just stating basic facts, okay? Now, the government can say, or the state, I'm saying states can sit there and say, well, if you're 12 or older, well, they already have rape laws, right? If you're over 16 years old, you commit rape or whatever. There's already statutory laws that are on the states. Why not leave that to the states instead of the government? The government don't need to be involved in that. They only need to be involved in three things. Things that the business people can't do, the military protecting us, which they're not doing right now, and basically our security, our foreign domestic policy. That's what they should be involved in. They're not being involved in any of those right now.
Well, if states are government, that's who should be making a determination like what I just spoke to. The state legislatures in each state. If you think government only means the federal government, and that's not at all what I mean. I mean government is any entity, power to enforce law. And that's certainly the states.
States' rights trump the federal government.
They are
cases.
Government. They have powers, not rights.
If you'll grow up and look up,
I know I got on here on a wrong note, maybe, or whatever. You know, my mic wasn't working, whatever. But did you look at that stupid law that Biden is trying to sue Tennessee over? Did you guys look at that link? Just look at that. That's government.
Well,
that's the federalized government intruding into Tennessee
anyway.
Law.
If you go up there and you look and go Google the world's 10 most horrifying young serial killers, guess what the youngest age is? 8, 9, 10, 12, 13, 14, and the list goes on. So don't
Yummy
tell me
Sandifer.
Yummy Sandifer, 9-year-old
hitman.
But that still doesn't justify trying them as an adult in my mind. You know, that's all fine and dandy. Fine. You have a psycho eight-year-old kid. You know, they're still an eight-year-old kid. And I don't believe that they should be tried as an adult. No way, no how. Try them as a juvenile. They're a kid. They're going to be locked up. You know, I mean, they're going to, you know. But
by the time they turn 25 years old,
you can't take an 8-year-old and think that they have the mentality of an adult.
But I don't know of any state that does not have an infancy protection law that prohibits, no matter what the circumstances, charging any 8 or 10-year-old as an adult. They call it an infancy protection statute, and every state I know of has a threshold below which you can never, no matter what, charge that person as an adult. So it depends on the state, but it's pretty much always under 12.
I put in the chat room an article that there are 13 states that have no age limit. No age limit in charging a minor as an adult. I put the link to it in the chat room.
Well, then those states are the exception to the rule.
I think that's
going to change with millions of illegals pouring over our border, because what's to say that some Chinese migrant that comes over with maybe his kid or another one that puts him up to a crime, what are we going to charge him with? You know, same thing with New York. You got to have some kind of stiff penalties. You're going to let these people just loot and kill people and get off the next day, attack cops and get off the next day or that day, actually, and go commit more crimes. It's just crazy.
That's what they want of
crazy.
Us.
Yeah, I just brought Montana Joe in.
May I have a moment, please? thank you.
Right in.
I hear a vaguely familiar voice on the radio here. I have to ask, is this Mr. Fisher that I am speaking to?
Yes.
Who, me?
Mr.
Everybody else, see, she gives me up. She gave me up. Everybody else is cracking up. Yeah, this is Mr. Fisher. Thank you.
Mr. Fisher, I have one
I'm
question.
I'm coming out
for
of retirement.
I have a question for you. Is that
well,
Buck
you can ask
still...
any question you want. That don't mean I'm going to answer you.
Well, is that Buck still out in the back 40 making faces at you?
Oh, no, sir. That Buck is hanging on my wall with his horns upside down because I did it to piss off somebody, some chick I knew at the time that said that I need to hang his horns the other way. I said, okay. Makes a good gun rack, whatever.
Yeah, okay. Well, like I said, I haven't talked to you for damn near 8 fucking years, sir. And I am glad to hear your voice.
Well, I'm glad to hear you too, buddy. I ain't really, you know, I just kind of dropped out a lot of stuff after Fred died, you know. And so I'm trying to get back into the swing of things. I got my mixer kind of hooked up, but I'm trying to get my microphone hooked. So that way you'll be hearing a lot more of me.
Well,
probably
I
more
would,
than you want.
I would be much appreciative when that day comes. Because we have much to much to catch up on.
Yes.
Oh, we definitely do. And the thing is, you know, I'm looking at some of the stuff in the world today, and I'm like, this is not the country I grew up in. It's not the country I want my kids to grow up in, definitely. You know, and
no.
I'm trying to think, you know, what would we do as traditional Americans? And that's the whole thing. Remember...
Yeah.
Me and Fred started that, and that's, and y'all helped and everything. And we got that movement. We were, like, ranking over Tea Party Nation and all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yep.
And, you know, then, you know, people dropped off Claudia. I don't even know what happened to Claudia. So, but she was a good writer, and we had some good people. Actually, if you look at traditionalamericanmovement.com, you find some old articles. Especially from Claudia, because she wrote a lot.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she was spot on a lot of this stuff. But, yeah, I'll be back. I'll be back, dude. Don't worry.
Well,
it's just taking me a while. I'm like, you know, an older dude, you know. And, you know, so it takes me a little while to get used to everything. But, you know, we'll be back.
That's good.
Or I'll
we'll
be
see.
Back.
Let's see. Let's do it again and see if we can't get kicked off of another site.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Judson's site. Is that the one?
Well,
Judson Phillips.
It was a Tea Party Nation kicked us off, remember?
Yeah, I remember that. We got kicked off by everybody.
What the hell do you got to do to get banned?
Well, I tell you what, I got thrown. I got basically. Well, I didn't get schooled, but I schooled this woman that was up here at Tea Party Nation, and they had a rally going on, you know, recruitment rally, and they had Bruce Springsteen singing "Born in the USA," and I said. Wait a minute. I'm out there with placards and stuff like that. I'm like, do you know what he's singing about? And they're older people back then. And they're like, no. And I said, listen to his lyrics. And they started listening. Oh, we can't play that, you know, because he trashes the U.S., you know. I'm so tired of it. I'm tired of it from the media. I'm tired of it, you know. And now the media is just, you know, spinning this, you know, Trump saying, well, you know, I have 10,000 square foot bungalow or whatever it was, penthouse up on his Trump Tower, and they're saying what he said was 30,000. So I'm trying to get to the bottom of that. I'm trying to figure that one out, but I don't know. This stupid Biden weaponized military complex that he's got going on there, and nobody's going to get fired. Nobody's going to get impeached. This stuff is just a cyclic spiral down the toilet. That's what it is.
Yep.
And that's where our country's heading.
That's where our country's heading. Well, you know, I advertised for you coming back quite a bit. I've got that ad that I play for you, and I keep saying that as soon as I find out the time, everybody else will know.
Well, my August did get impeached, but his conviction trial is going to be dead on arrival in the Senate.
Yep.
The Senate is never going to convict him.
Absolutely.
But he did get impeached. Mayorkas did get impeached, though. I mean, that is a fact. He did. But he's not going to be convicted and removed.
We'll never get anything out of the Senate, you know, because it's a divided House. Now you got Republicans dropping out, you know. So there's nothing going to happen. You know, nothing going to happen with Hunter Biden. Nothing going to happen with Joe, you know, unless, you know, he chokes on an ice cream cone. I don't know, you know. Nothing going to happen with him.
You know, if he chokes on
an ice cream cone,
I hope somebody's filming it.
Oh, but Lord, we got to get Trump, though. He's a threat to democracy, remember? Got to get him. No matter what rules we got to bend to get him, he's a threat to democracy. Got to get him.
Yeah, and this is one thing. See, they keep bringing up threat to democracy. Everybody, you know, the Jan Sixers are a threat to democracy. Well, why do they say that? Because Washington, D.C. is not a republic. They're not part of our republic. Look it up. They are a democracy, basically. They are not part of our republic. So it's mob rule up there. And these people don't understand that. So when they talk about, well, they're a threat to our democracy, I'm going, wait a minute, why don't they say, well, you're a threat to our representative republic? But they can't say that because they are not part of this country. They're not.
Right.
They were Washington is not part of this country, you know. I don't know. It's just weird the way everything's come out. But, I mean, that was the way the Founding Fathers wanted it, and that's fine. But the thing is that's why they keep calling a republic a democracy.
That's right.
Because to them it's mob rule. And that's why Nancy Pelosi would not let Trump send the National Guard when he could have, when he told her. I mean, all these charges against him are just so bogus, but you know, I'm sure, you know, they're just throwing crap against the wall and see what's going to stick, and eventually something's going to stick. Like this one has hurt him, you know, a little bit, but they're going to appeal it. You know, I like his attorney, Alina Haba. Ooh, I like her. She's feisty. She's very bright, and she lost this one, but it was lost before. Ergonon, or whatever his damn name is, you know, sounds like, he looks like something out of some kind of science fiction creature. Or
experiment gone wrong.
You know, he said, well, you know, he presumed him guilty before it even came to trial. You know?
Yeah.
He did. That's what looked like today,
Fred.
I mean, she was very proud of telling us that the guilt was determined before it even went to trial. I couldn't believe she said that. In a video she sent out to the public.
She ran for her seat based off the fact that she will get Trump. Now, I can't see any court really in the right mind standing up for this ruling, but no, you know, it's America. You know, that, remember that black cop And that woman said, isn't this America? And he said, not anymore, you know. That's the way it's come to. This ain't America.
No, it's not. And, these people who say that the people who oppose what they're doing, whether it be the January 6th, whether it be Donald Trump, whether it be people, Americans who are concerned about the Constitution and the Constitutional Republic, the one thing they are correct about is they say that those people are a threat to the democracy, because they are. We want to destroy their concept of democracy, and we want to restore the Constitutional Republic. So it is true. We are a threat to their idea of a democracy.
Yeah.
Amen.
The elitist rule, their democracy, is mob rule. That's what democracy is.
That's
when
true.
You get down to it. And that's why they keep calling it a democracy. They don't call it a republic. You never hear that. You never hear that. Never. Never.
And the word
because
democracy,
they are, because it would put them, it would put them on hold, because they're supposed to be representatives of the republic. But so happens that they live in D.C. and they work in D.C. is that they are a democracy, which is mob. And that's, you know, how they get around that game. And the media falls in line. The media is just in fault for it, too.
And think about it. The word democracy is nowhere to be found in the Constitution or even the Declaration. You do see the word republic mentioned in the Constitution 3 times. But you don't see the word democracy in there anywhere.
Nope.
Amen.
Yep.
Well,
I mean, you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, and they're trying to make D.C. a state, you know. And that look, people ain't stupid. Well, I don't know. You know, I'm really starting to wonder, you know, how many people are actually halfway lit, you know, to know that the reason why the Biden administration is letting all these illegals in is so that they can, you know, the Democratic Party can get more votes. That's what it is. They don't care. They don't give a shit about, you know, whether, you know, there's fentanyl coming across or killing hundreds and thousands of people in this, thousands of people actually in this country. They don't care about that. They don't care about the Chinese that are coming in. They don't care about, you know, what's it, 500,000, I think, was in 1 week that came in. Not just Chinese, but others. But they don't care about that. It's going to take, I don't know. I don't think we're going to be ready for it. It's going to take a terrorist attack on the par of 9/11, but probably times that by 200 times to make people maybe awake. And even by then, they'll be dead. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm a fatalist on this issue.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like I told everybody a little while ago about how New Mexico is finally starting to swing the other way, and the Democrats are starting to turn against each other. You know, what I'm seeing here is that the best way to do this whole thing is just sit back and watch them. They'll eat themselves alive, and then we can sit back and say, oh, hey, there we go. But as long as we give
like
them
some
fightings.
Well, like I said earlier, I mean, this stupid lawsuit against Biden on the state of Tennessee defines aggravated prostitution, which is a felony, if you have HIV. So we made a law against it. Now they're saying that, oh, no, that's against their that's against their rights. You know, that's against their it's discrimination based off civil rights and so on, that kind of thing. And I'm like, what the heck are they talking about? It's the same thing with Fannie Willis up there with her boyfriend, right? She says, well, you know, I can't. When the first day she was up there on that court trial, and she goes, well, I want to come up here. I want to testify. She's getting all belligerent and stuff, you know. She's actually a hostile witness. But she gets up there and she's like, well, no, we didn't have improper relations back in 2019, but she already has been already came out and said, well, they did, you know, after the fact, after that. So she's like sitting there go, I discredit you people for, you know, or I, you know, condemn you people for sitting there and chastising me for this. And she did the same doggone thing. You know, it's just hypocrisy abounds. It abounds in the Biden administration.
Well, look, here's what the Department of Justice is saying about that law in Tennessee. They are saying it violates the American with Disabilities Act. What they're saying is that state and the Texas Bureau, the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, what they're doing is they're subjecting people who live with HIV to harsher criminal penalties just because they got HIV. And what the feds say is that violates Title II of the Americans with Disabilities Act. So Tennessee's aggravated prostitution statute elevates what would otherwise be a misdemeanor conduct to a felony because the person involved has HIV, which, by the way, is a deadly disease. Even and yes, it exposes someone to the risk of death. And so they said, no, that's no, never mind. Don't worry about that. You're discriminating against them and causing them to have a harsher penalty simply because they have HIV, a disease and a condition, which is covered by the Federal Americans with Disabilities Act. So there you go. Federal government is weighed in, and the federal government has spoken.
Well, then, yeah, but it's not done. It's not a done deal. Hey, look, what the deal is here is, okay, if I'm blind, if I got a blind daughter and I said, okay, I want you to go get your driver's license and they deny her because she's blind. Well, you can't pass a reading test. You're blind. Why? Well, because I'm blind. Well, you can't have a driver's license. Oh, I'm going to sue. That's what it opens the floodgates for. And it's not just that. It's tiny. I mean, you can pick anything. You know, I've only got two legs, you know, but I got no arms. But I can't do this or can't do that, so I'm going to sue. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. It's unbelievable to me, you know, that some whore, right, or somebody with HIV is going to blatantly infect other people and get away with it. And they can't be sued. They can't be fined. They can't be put in jail. But they can. But they know that they're giving somebody else a life death sentence, right? Same thing with a blind girl driving a car.
Well,
so you go tell me
what Tennessee needs to do is change their law, and says that they'll be charged with attempted murder.
That's a good one. Because, look, a blind girl in a car, you know, what's going to happen there?
Yeah.
See, that shuts down the whole argument. But the thing is that we in Tennessee are a red state. We've been a red state for many, many years. And we don't cotton to people coming up here and trying to change our lives. We don't cotton to people in the government that are trying to intrude on the laws that we make in Tennessee. And that's the way it is. If you got HIV, you should not be out. And if you do get caught, it should be a felony. I think it should. Why not?
Yeah.
What's it, misdemeanor? Oh, I'm sorry, I gave you HIV.
Well,
you know,
the
whole thing
they tried to make,
what is that? What is that, a disability? You got HIV, is that a disability? That's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm going, what the hell are they talking about, you know? It's cruel.
That's pretty
much what we talked about with Joe Gibson, though. Joe Gibson, you still there, Joe? Remember what we talked about? This is part and parcel of the mischief that has been created by the application of the 14th Amendment with this pernicious notion of substantive due process.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's why I've been trying to help a little bit, but you know, this whole thing is the same thing as like women in men's sports. they've now actually come out and said that Riley Gaines is nothing more than a terrorist because she believes that women only should be in women's sports. Well,
these people, the overwrought hysteria. God, they are insufferable.
We've got to support Brad Bruce candidates. We've got to infiltrate them like they infiltrated us over the years. We've got to get good people that only strictly obey and want the Constitution.
Yep.
Well, you got to remember, PTA parents who oppose their children being taught transgender ideology and having their sex switched without the consent of their parents, they're called terrorists too. Why shouldn't they call Riley Gaines a terrorist?
Well, it's not just that, Riley James. It's Christian churches. It's Jews. It's, you know, I mean, you name it. They're all terrorists, except the rioters that happened in, you know, different cities, Chicago, Detroit, you know, New York. It's all different.
What the hell is that?
Jeez, man. I don't know what that was. But yeah. Let me tell you who is not a terrorist. A person protesting on a college campus in sympathy with Hamas terrorists who chases Jewish students in a closet so they have to lock the door to protect themselves from a mob. Now, they are not terrorists. They are righteous protesters.
Yep.
Now you're being facetious now, right?
Look, if I wasn't facetious these days, I'd have to take the kind of action that might get me in trouble.
Yeah, I know what you mean, man. I get that way too, but then, you know, just have a cold drink and cool down, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's probably the best bet.
This stuff, it just aggravates your brain too much. Really does. Yeah. I mean, I don't know where I sit anymore on this. It's just like, I'm about done with the world. I mean, I'm a lot older than a lot of you all on here. Me and my wife, you know, since I retired, we've been prepping, we've been doing everything. You know, we got cans of stuff just hanging out everywhere, you know. And, you know, I'm looking for the zombie apocalypse. That's what I'm, you know, looking for, you know. I got guns, I got ammo, I got everything I need. Brother, I'm telling you, if you need a place to hold up and you got food, come over here. But, you know, if you ain't got no food, got no ammo, don't be coming over my place. That's all
I'm
saying.
I got a pallet of MREs, a lot of ammo, and common calibers, and I got a couple protective masks and everything else because I, too, am looking for some degree of collapse of civilization within the near future.
Well, I'm kind of like the same boat. If I don't win this election,
I call it the zombie apocalypse. Oh, yeah. If Biden wins, then, look, the fix is already in on the blue states. We already know that, right? So, you know, we just got to get Trump or over the line. I mean, you might, you know, have a different politician that you want, but I think that's the only person that has the nod, you know, that can do it, you know, because look, Trump, imagine a debate between Trump and Joe. He'd have to bring his wife in.
That's not going
to
happen.
No, it ain't going to happen, but he'd have to bring Joe or Jill in so that she can sit there and say, Joe, we need another $1 million or $2, you know, or a couple billion, you know, and he's compromised anyways. The dude is compromised anyways from Ukraine, from China, from Russia. It's unbelievable. When I start my show, it's going to be pretty cool.
When is that going to be, Mr. Fisher?
As soon as I can get, I got to clean off the rest of the mixing board that I got. If not, I'll just get another one and then just hook up my mic and I'll be on there. Actually, I might do that this weekend, see what I can get. I just don't understand Block Talk Radio anymore. It's kind of weird. It don't work the same way as when I was back there. It don't. Well, it don't.
You
I'm
want
sorry,
platform?
You know, no,
you
gotta
got your own platform
one.
Still?
You got to hold your hand up to speak in the lunchroom. Oh, my God, I didn't know that, you know. So I'm sitting here talking to myself, and I'm going, what the hell, you know.
You still got your own
somebody
platform?
Else,
I mean,
I forget
if you need
who.
A platform to come on. You need a platform to use.
No.
I mean, you're more than welcome to come on one of ours.
Well yeah, mm-hmm. But the thing is, I didn't know, you know, that they changed a bunch of stuff on BTR, so I didn't know that you had to press one to speak. I just thought you dialed in, and the moderator would sit there and say, okay, we got caller from, you know, Mendeville, Tennessee, you know, call in, and they would let you in, but no, it's not that way anymore.
I think what it is, a lot of that being is that there's people who will call in, and they just want to sit and listen and not talk. So we've just kind of start putting out that if you want to talk, raise, you know, press one, and it'll raise a hand that'll actually let us know that you want to say something. And of course, I was watching you in the chat room, so I kind of knew.
Yeah.
Oh, you kind of knew?
Yeah, kind of knew.
Yeah, you kind of knew that I wasn't going to call in, huh? Is that what it was?
No, I kind of knew that you wanted to talk. I'm glad.
Well, I probably
you did
monopolized
in
the conversation so far. And look, if I pissed anybody off, I'm sorry. But, you know, that's the way it is, you know. So.
Hey,
hopefully
Bing?
I'll get my mixer
Bing?
And my mic up, and we'll get what?
If you don't piss anybody off here every once in a while, you're doing it fucking wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, where's
if
Nod
I don't piss
at?
People off,
I want Nod
if
to
I don't
be
piss
on
people
here
off,
to argue with Bing.
Yeah, I ain't doing my job
argue with
if I don't piss people off.
He might be there. We've got another Skype number sitting there.
We've got.
I'm just waiting
know.
For a liberal troll to come in. Come on, bring him to me. I eat him for breakfast and shit. You know.
Bing, when was it? When was it back in the old days that we didn't piss each other off every once in a while?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, brother. I mean, you know. Once in a while, I mean, we'd all have disputes and stuff like that, but we'd come together, you know, as a team, and that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's no I in team, you know, so, you know, we kind of lost our way, you know. And it's not us. It's a lot of it is the media, and, you know, I'm going to get dinged on my business on Facebook and Meta. Actually, with Instagram too, because they want me to have them charge my clients for everything that they buy off my website through their website, you know, through Facebook. And it's like, wow, you know, it's like 2.5%. I don't do that on my own website. So I have no controls. I'm going to get off probably Facebook. I'll probably stay on there, but I'll, you know, just advertise things that I'm making and cool things I'm doing and that kind of thing. But, yeah, it's just, you know, these corporations are just trying to take over. But now Facebook laid off a bunch of people, tons of people. So they're trying to probably make up for it by doing that. So it's, you know, life's a gamble, you know, and you never know, you know. But, yeah, if I ain't pissing somebody off, then I ain't doing my job right. That's
yeah,
the way I look at it.
That's it. I love that. Yeah. So that's why I kind of felt like this week when I did my update, I got that one thumbs down from somebody when I was talking about how Mayorkas got impeached, that it probably wouldn't go any farther. I got a thumbs down on that. And I'm kind of wearing that as a badge of honor. I think that is great. Somebody doesn't like what I said. I made somebody mad.
Well, yeah, he got impeached. It won't get past the Senate. You know that. None
no,
of this stuff
won't.
Will. It won't because it's It's weaponized justice system is what it is.
Yep.
And if it ain't Trump, it's going to be you, me, Leanne, anybody else. It's going to be somebody.
Yep.
They're going to come after everybody.
Yep.
Who knows what kind of records they got on us right now? You know, I mean, I seen my FBI record at one time when I got arrested for something, and it wasn't something I did. I got totally, you know, exonerated from that. It was, you know, same day, that kind of thing. But I seen my FBI record, and it was pretty thick. I couldn't believe it. It was like over an inch thick. The folder that they brought up. Now, I don't know. They might just bring that folder out, you know, just to intimidate you. I don't know. I don't trust the government at all.
No, that's one of the shows that I'm constantly advertising, American Statesman. She says, I love my country. It's my government I'm afraid of.
It's the government I'm afraid of. You know, Ronald Reagan said the same thing. You know.
Yep, he sure did.
Yep, I don't know. The most dangerous words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
To help.
Yeah. And he also said, you know, well, you said a lot of things, but hold on a second. Make sure I get this
right. That sounded interesting.
Yeah, he built, let me see. Oh, here it is. Hold on a second. I wish I had my mixing board hooked up. I'd play this right off, but maybe y'all can. Well, never mind. That one ain't coming through.
Yeah, I know that. Go ahead.
So as we begin, let us take inventory. We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around. And this makes us special among the nations of the earth. Our government has no power except that granted it by the people. It is time to check and reverse the growth of government, which shows signs of having grown beyond the consent of the governed.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was just a very good quote.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure I got it, you know, fully, but actually probably ought to memorize that.
Yeah.
And who said that one?
Reagan.
I think it's Reagan, yeah.
Yeah.
He was a good president.
Excuse me, did you say Satan or Reagan? I might have heard that wrong.
Reagan.
Oh, Satan, okay.
Oh, we do have Naj on the line. Hello, Naj.
What's up, y'all? What's going on? Lorianne, you predicted me coming on and starting to feel like that old star, what's it called? That old Skype line stuff don't work no more. I guess y'all just get the numbers now. I guess that's what it
is. Well, you I don't come it. On I my show it. Very Ooh, often, yeah, but you come here.
Hey, what's up?
Lorianne is either good, and lively, or something. I don't know.
Well, we got, nice
we got some feedback going on.
Yeah, nice echo.
Oh,
that
me? Yeah, if that's me, my bad.
Yeah, if that's me, my bad.
Yep, sounded like you.
I
Are we better now?
I know. You just wanted to hear yourself speak.
we're down
to the
last.
No, he wanted to hear my voice repeat itself like an echo. Because he loves me that much.
Hey, man, hate is out there, man. Like, I made a good Reagan-Satan joke. Nobody laughed. I didn't take it personal.
We're down to the last 4 minutes of the first 2 hours. And so we're going to be going into the third hour pretty quick. I just thought you guys might like to know. Anybody's in the chat room and hasn't called in?
Noticed,
yes.
The bonus hour.
Bonus hour, yeah.
Yeah, that's something that Bing might not be familiar with is the bonus hour. Not sure how new that is. But, yeah, if you're out there and you're listening, but you haven't called in yet, call in within the next 3.5 minutes before the live broadcast ends so you can continue on with us for the bonus hour.
Yeah.
When things really start to get fun.
Actually, when things start getting fun is during in the fourth hour when nobody gets recorded.
Yeah. Then then I challenge anybody. Let's count how many times we can say the F word tonight.
Yeah,
we need Ron Reck here for that.
We still,
Ron Reck will take that challenge on, no problem.
we still get recorded. Remember, we have our friends, the NSA, out there protecting us. Listening to every word that we say.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
and you know,
we should
really recognize the boys there at the NSA and say, thanks for listening, guys. You make our numbers go up.
Hey, thanks for listening.
You guys are tougher than me.
Screw you.
With the surveillance state, I ain't joking with those people. Y'all can laugh at them. I'm not.
Well, you know, there's a difference there, Naj, because you know what? They're listening, and they're going to use whatever they pick up, what we say, against us. So we might as well have some fucking fun with them too. You know, in fact, it's probably been a good year or two since I have actually said hi to the motherfuckers.
Yep.
All I know is we ain't seen Julian Assange in about a year and a half. And what's my man who fled to Russia? We ain't heard from him in a while either. So I ain't messing with them folks.
It's all good. It's all good. I'll be back, man. I'm telling you, I'm coming back because I am pissed. Government is not the solution to the problem. Government is the problem.
Well, hold on. Let's get into that, man, because I heard y'all, you know, make that little statement and, you know, people kind of celebrated Reagan for saying that. Hopefully Sarge is still here because I know me and him will bump heads on that too. But I understand people's worries about government size and the ability of the surveillance state and everything else. But the flip side of that coin is corporatism. So, I mean, there has to be some figuring this out. There can't just be always big government is bad. We should shrink it. Okay, you shrink it. That makes big government now the smaller government who's a corporate stooge and is led around the nose by the corporation. So there has to be an answer there that it can't just be big gov or big corporate.
Well,
is that what we already have now?
Nice.
I mean, the bigger
nice.
Government has gotten, the bigger corporations have gotten. I don't. I see a correlation between the two.
Naj.
What is the government?
Our government is a corporation. It is a corporation. We are being ruled by a corporation. Right now, as we speak.
Based out of D.C.
Right. We've talked about that before. We can get into the semantics of whether the government is a corporation or not, but you guys know what I'm talking about when I say that. When I say the billionaire class of corporates that we have now, that shape opinion, thinking, and policy. Like, come on, man, these guys are writing policy for politicians. All they need is a signing pen. Here you go, sign this. That's straight up.
Yeah, but they're on both sides of the aisle, man. You know, they're on both sides. But what is the government? Let me ask you, what is the government's responsibility to the people of America? Not everybody else, the people of America, United States of American citizens. What is the government's responsibility?
I would say that the government,
the ultimate
responsibility of government now is to keep themselves legitimate for another 100 years or so, as long as you can stretch it out. This, like every other empire, will burn out.
Three major responsibilities?
Well, listen, brother, if you feel like if you want to read the PBS version of what the government is supposed to do, I'm just getting into what they actually do. So when I say extension of the U.S. government for another 100 years or so, and then you try for another 100 and another 100. So ultimately, can you keep your economic system upright? Can you keep yourself in the top, I don't know, 3 of the G8? Can you keep yourself in that rarefied air? Everything else
Yeah, but see, that argument is flawed, because you're talking about keeping it in keeping the government in power for another 100 years or so while they keep passing these bills, these omnibus bills. We're broke. We're broke, brother. We're broke. We are broke. We can't keep the government going.
No.
We can't.
Not only
so we have to do something different.
We have to do something different. To definition. Wait a minute. You just said the U.S. government was broke. Biggest economy in the world, also most influence in the world. Why? Every major country in this world has U.S. dollars in their central bank. This idea that the U.S. is broke is nonsense. Now, are we over-levered as far as when it comes to debt? To a certain degree, but remember whose debt that is. That would be the ownership class of this country. When they tell you the U.S. is in X amount of debt, well, those are the treasury bonds and savings of the wealthy class. That's their money. Instead of paying taxes, they're able to invest in the United States and then get a return on their investment later on. It's a billionaire's dream.
It's not just the wealthy class. There's middle tax. There's low tax. But, yes, there's people that have invested their savings into 401ks and IRAs and all this other stuff, and they're having to take it out because the price of groceries have gone up so much, gas has gone up so much, they can't afford to live. You know, rent has gone up. They can't afford to live, so they have to take it out. But the whole thing is that the government, the people that need the money can't print it. The government can, and that's the whole problem here, is that we've got a class of elitists that just want to rule everybody else. So they'll give you a little stimulus check and that kind of thing. You know, they'll give you all that, but they don't want to shake the apple cart so much as to make it where they can't make money. You know, and I agree with you on the corporations. Okay, there's corporations that are bilking people, you know, medications, that kind of thing, right? But the government is not in – that's not the government's responsibility to take care of that. That's what I'm saying. It's demand.
In a modern advanced state, it may be. We got to look at the Constitution in a realistic way and say some things will transfer to a modern state. But some things won't because of the things that they didn't know at the time. So when you look at a global economy,
I'm not following that, dude.
I didn't stutter. You can disagree. That's fine.
Are you one of those living documents?
Living constitutionalist. That's what it is.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying, Constitution is setting stuff. It don't bend in the waves. It don't bend in the wind. It's living. Or it's not living. It's set in stone. But what I'm saying is that, look, you can't sit there and say that.
Well, let's do this. Let's try what you're saying. Let's test it. does a constitutional lawyer go to school to figure out ways to circumvent what was originally written in the Constitution?
Yes.
Are you asking me?
So why are we playing these games? Like, that's what the game is. Y'all can beat all the originalists all you want to. When it comes down to it, every administration is going to send their people in there to carve up and cut out as many goodies as they can from that Constitution. Y'all know that, and I know
it's
that.
How they interpret the Constitution, which, you know, that's
exactly
an individual's thing. But the deal is that they're not supposed to be doing that. They're supposed to take there and interpret the Constitution as it is right now. Now, as it is in the future, 20, 30, 40, 10 years, 5 years from now, when they sit there and change everything,
okay,
and they want to make,
simple,
you know, same-sex law, you know, they want to add things into the Constitution that was never intended to be there.
Okay, simple.
You know
question.
What I mean?
Okay, so what does the Constitution say about AI? You see the dilemma?
No.
Artificial intelligence? It doesn't
say
anything.
What
do
you say about headaches
that?
At 3 o'clock
exactly.
in the morning? I mean, come on.
Exactly. Well, headaches at 3 o'clock
yeah,
in the morning
but that's
are going
not...
to change the economy and become a global norm. It's a real problem that we're going to
no,
have to deal
but
with.
What does it say? It says that the states, you know, confronted upon problems, they can sit there and they can go, you know, the people can say, look, we don't like AI in this and we don't like AI in that. Well, they can go to the Congress and they can go to their house and, you know, and they can petition to get laws. You know, it's up to the people to decide. It's not up to the government,
brother,
per se.
Brother, come on.
Since you have given up your ability to make a decision, I'm going to make one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Sit down and shut up, because you're going to get fucked any way you look at it, Naj.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not.
Well,
we're all
the way,
in the same boat. And,
well,
and
no, the way I look at it, okay, look at it this
way. Because you couldn't beat my argument,
it,
that's a you problem. Get the confidence up.
Okay, well, look at it this way. Okay, is there anything about an AR-15, AK-47 in the Constitution?
Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
Nothing.
Agreed.
There's nothing in there. But can I have one, please? Yes, I've got multiple. And, you know, that's why... The founding fathers did not have any idea about some of the, you know, what mother of all bombs. No, they didn't know about that. They didn't know about a lot of things. But you want to bring up, you know, did they know about this or that? But the thing is that that's up to people to legislate. That's up to people to argue about. And that's all cool. That's all good, you know. I ain't got no problem with that. But the thing is that at the end of the day, you know, it's the government that needs to step out of the way. They need to let, the free market dictate where the country goes. But they don't need to sit there and bring in millions and millions of illegals to sit there and take over our country. We are going to lose this country.
Yep.
We're going to lose it because of the massive border, because of Biden. And I don't even know it's Biden. I don't think he knows what the hell he's doing anymore.
This country survived Franklin Pierce. It'll survive Joe Biden. Okay? Like, let's not be overly dramatic here. Joe Biden will be a memory in a few years. People will say, yeah, I hated him as president, or some people will say they liked him. But, I mean, he's not some historical – look, put it like this. If you get a U.S. history book in 30 years, he's not going to have a whole chapter. Hell, he might not have two pages.
Okay, why isn't he prosecuted for the same crimes that Trump is? Hidden documents, all that kind of stuff. Seriously. Because they're weaponized. Actually, it was before him. It was Barack Obama weaponized the Justice Department.
Yeah.
That's Fast and Furious. That's why, yes, Fast and Furious. And that's why Trump is getting charged during election year with all these crimes that are just bogus, you know, bogus. And Biden gets the pass because his lawyer, district attorney or whatever, said, well, he's just an old man. He's, feeble. He's, can't remember. That's where the memory thing comes in there, brother. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. You know, it's a pass. It's a pass for the elitists.
And it's I would make similar arguments against Trump. I would say they both are captured when it comes to that elite class that wants benefits and things from them when they sit down in that office, and they get them from both. So I don't look at either one as some kind of grassroots revolutionary or populist. I look at them as two corporate candidates representing corporate parties. So I'm not a Biden fan.
Well, no, I didn't think you were a Biden fan. It's just like you're standing up kind of like teetering on the edge of the left on that fence, you know?
I'm not teetering on the edge. We're going to disagree on a lot. I'm a left.
Well, I don't know you that much. I'm just going off first impressions, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll tell you the truth. Ain't no big deal, dog. Yeah, I'm a leftist, so I have different ideas than most of the time the people on this show. Lori Ann is a libertarian. We kind of agree on a lot of stuff about, government and things like that, but we disagree on social stuff. So, it is what it is, man. This is America. We're supposed to be able to have various political opinions. The problem is...
Well, Nas, I really think you're growing now, Nas. You're actually beginning to approach my characterization. You finally admit you're a leftist. Well, good for you.
Well, you couldn't figure that out at first. Come on, dude. No.
He regularly has denied to me that he is a leftist. Now he's freely confessing to it. That is an improvement.
Well, we got it on tape. So the thing is that not only that he came out of the closet, I guess, but I don't have no problem with that. Debate is fine. Okay, but when I used to do the show and people would call me and start just dissing me, I'm like, dude, and they were leftists, you could tell. And I would sit there and say, do you want to have a discussion? No, you suck, this and that. And I'm like, do I come to where you work and steal your French fries? And that kind of thing. It just put the liberals down. And they would freak out, but I don't know if I could do that anymore. But anyway, I don't have a problem with having a debate, or discussion or, that kind of thing. I mean, I think it's, enjoyable to me, actually. It kind of relieves stress
and this is how we learn. You hear something from the other side.
It's how we're supposed to be.
Exactly. You look into it to find out either that guy was full of shit or you discover something that you didn't know and you were wrong. So that's the beautiful thing about having these discussions with people from different backgrounds. Again, I go harder on Biden when I talk to you guys. Well, I mean, I'll take that. You can call me that all day.
I don't think anybody is trying to convert you, man. It's just,
No.
Just don't know exactly, I don't know exactly where you stand, but the more I get to talk to you, the more I'll get to know you, So.
Yeah, no problem, brother. No problem.
First time I talk to you, as far as I know.
We've been arguing on these shows for years, man. So sometimes it's good exercise to keep you aware of the topics that are going on. And then, again, it makes you explore the things that you believe and find out sometimes that some of the things are wrong. Some of y'all criticisms of Biden, I look into them, and sometimes I say, oh, shit, they got that one.
There's a difference between emotional opinions and whatnot and what you believe, but in personal beliefs that are facts, that are non-facts, There's things that are screwing up this country by those types of beliefs.
Agreed?
Yeah, like the simple mathematical difference between 304,253 illegal aliens in December and the highest number that encounters that Donald Trump had in his presidency was 75,000. It is literally a mathematical difference that is exponentially different.
Mm-hmm. I'm really concerned about these illegals coming in, and I don't call them immigrants or refugees. They're illegal, right? My dad came here from Germany, East Germany, which I've been to, and twice. And yeah, he came in the right way. He came in through Ellis Island and all that kind of stuff. And it just makes a mockery of people like him, rest, you know, his soul, that came to this country to make a better life for his children. And you got this man just letting the borders open, porous, porous, porous. And then they get pissed when Greg Abbott says, I think Mr. Abbott ought to send them up to Delaware, right in front of Joe's doorstep. That's what I think.
So when we send people to other places that don't have the budget or capacity to deal with them, and then we complain about the outcome later and how much it would cost, it reads kind of disingenuous. But quick question. Would you guys agree?
Now, wait a minute. Okay.
Yeah.
If they're a sanctuary state, then we should be sending them there, right?
Yeah, they're asking
for
it.
No, you should be processing and deporting. If you feel like the person is there illegally and should be gone, you should be deporting those people. You shouldn't be sending them to another city and making it a political game. But hold on. This is the major point.
But they can't do that.
They can. Matter of fact, they got the business centers for it. But I got a bigger question for y'all.
They have been coached to make bogus asylum claims, and since they do, under existing law, their asylum claim must be entertained. The problem is that the Biden administration then grants them essentially illegal residency for up to 8 to 11 years to await their deportation hearing, where 85% of them will be denied and then ordered deported, of which they will never be because there is no interior enforcement. There is no interior enforcement right now.
Right. The question I was going to ask y'all, though, was, so would you guys agree to get rid of the restrictions on Venezuela so they don't have so many citizens that are part of that group that is pushing their way north and showing up at the border? Would you agree to get rid of the embargo against Cuba so they don't have so many citizens trying to figure out ways to come over there and get to that border? So the question becomes, do you guys really want to solve that issue, or is this just something y'all want to throw around every election year?
I do not think that will affect it one iota of any significance. No, this is being engineered by Joe Biden, giving not just a dog whistle, but a bullhorn clarion call to surge to the border. Those were his words, not mine. They are heeding his call. They are coming here. They are being assisted by non-governmental organizations that many of our taxpayers fund. And all these entities, to include the drug cartels, the non-governmental organizations, the governments like Mexico and Venezuela and Honduras and the others who are assisting this tide. I don't think what you say will have one iota of effect on this tide. Not one bit.
Well, if you take away
you forgot
embargo,
China
you take away,
and
you
Russia.
Take, you take away their claims of asylum.
What
so
about Chinese? What about
I would
Russians?
Say
what are they
remain
escaping?
In Mexico like Donald Trump did. Title 42, remain in Mexico, invoke Title 8, Section 12 to decree an emergency on the border and completely shut it down. That's what I would do. That's what's not being done. That's what Donald Trump did. That's what essentially secured the border. And on his first day in office, Joe Biden deliberately reversed every one of Donald Trump's executive actions that were based on existing legislation.
Yeah, so
and every one of those people you mentioned have walls around their houses.
Yeah, yeah. What you just said was erroneous. Not only did Biden keep the kids in cages that AOC was so-called shedding crocodile tears for, but he kept the detention centers and everything else. The only thing he changed was the asylum decree.
That's not true. I'll give you specifics. That's not true.
Yeah,
I'll give you specifics
of
what
AOC was down. AOC went down there.
Not true.
AOC was down there, and she was watching.
Right.
She was, you know, talking about all this crap with the people being put in cages and all this stuff. This was during Obama.
No,
okay, let me tell you what Donald Trump did on his second day in office. Wait a minute. Let me tell you what he did on his second day of office, since you challenged me. I'm going to tell you exactly what he did. This is fact. This is not opinion. On his first day, he signed an executive order rescinding Trump's efforts to exclude illegal aliens from the Senate. He signed an executive order strengthening DACA. He signed an executive order canceling Trump's interior enforcement rules. He signed an executive order that halted border wall construction, and then he paid the contractors to not build the wall, $140,000 a day. He gave another executive order extending deportation protection for Libyans. He suspended asylum agreements with Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. He ended Remain in Mexico. He ended Title 42. He ended the Safe Harbor Third Country provisions. He did all of that by executive order. The orders are on the White House website. Don't tell me he didn't do that. He unsecured the border deliberately.
He did.
He is definitely not for protecting the United States of America.
Nope, he isn't.
Well, you know, here's another thing. You have to remember one thing. You cannot, under any circumstance in this country, apply Cloward and Piven without the border being wide open.
Yeah, so, sorry, I had to run to the bathroom. So just for everybody else, you can go to New York Times. This is a story from November, how Biden's promises to reverse Trump's immigration policies crumbled. Read that article. Read one from the Washington Post. All of these discussed, not only did he keep the majority of the policies, but this idea that Biden is some kind of leftist who believes in open borders is not only ridiculous, but go back to the previous administration. When he worked for Obama, they did 2.5 million deportations. Matter of fact, that's why the Dreamers were rallying against Obama late in his second term, because they felt he had sold them out, which he did. And this idea that Joe Biden is some kind of leftist, this is Joe Biden, raggedy centrist, former segregationist Joe Biden. Why do y'all think this dude is some kind of...
Naj, I have repeatedly told you, Naj, Joe Biden is not a leftist. I have already conceded that he is not. He is not a leftist. He is a corruptocrat. Has the ideological tide of his party has changed. He put his fingers in the wind, and he decided to go with it as long as they will enable him to continue his grip. He has never had an ideological principle. He is not willing to sell out to the highest bidder. He has never been an ideologue. He is not a leftist. He is not a conservative. He puts his finger in the wind and goes wherever his party's going, as long as they will let him continue to maintain his drifting, corruptocrat ways. I never said he was a leftist.
And
well,
plagiarized.
Yeah, if you're not black, you know, don't vote for me. You know, I mean, you know, you got
this crap that
Joe Biden said. You know, he was involved in, you know, desegregation and all this kind of stuff. He was for it. He was for it. Him and Senator Byrd were very tight, very tight. I got my hands, like my fingers together, where one's on top, one's on the bottom, and I don't know who's on top, who's on the bottom. But they was,
Wait a minute. Let's do something with Robert Byrd real quick. Wait a minute. So if somebody starts off their life as an avowed racist, joins the Ku Klux Klan, and that benefits them in their personal career. And then later on in life, they say, you know what? I was wrong then. I disavow all those things I said. Why aren't we giving people room for growth, man? And I'm saying that about Robert Byrd. I want to hear what y'all think.
What about Robert K.K. Byrd?
Yep.
Yeah, he did. Well, he didn't. Look. Biden has always been a racist, in my opinion. Okay? That's probably why he's got a rate. Huh?
I said, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Tell me something, Nas. You feel the same way about Nathan? Do you feel, Nas, do you feel the same way about Nathan Bedford Forrest? Because Nathan Bedford Forrest did the same thing. You feel the same way about him?
Oh, why do you use that name?
I said he did the same thing you said Robert Byrd did. He disavowed the Ku Klux Klan. He attempted to make reconciliation between the races. He kissed a black woman's hand in public as he went to a church meeting trying to effect better race relations between white and black people in the 19th century. Now, do you feel the same way about Nathan Bedford Forrest? Do you think he redeemed himself?
I'll answer your question if you answer mine. So first thing, emotionally, you just hit me with a tough one because I was reading about Bedford Forrest a couple of weeks ago. So I got a certain opinion of that guy.
So you know what I said is true, don't you? Admit it. What
man,
I just said is factual.
One.
Is it not?
Yeah, it's factual. I can't forgive him. No, I can't forgive him.
But okay, wait, see, that's what I mean. You can't forgive him. You can't forgive him.
But go ahead. I want
to hear. So then why are we supposed to forget Robert Byrd?
I think
Joe Biden.
The whole thing is that the Democrats want to perpetuate systemic racism in this country because
the
they want the United States. No, they want the United States to be all up in arms against each other. All over, because these people really are pulling out the straws because they have nothing to go off. And that's the Communist Party rule. You got to sit there and...
Brother, I'm saying this to you as a real friend. That's nonsense.
I'm telling you, back in 1946, the Communist Party rules were introduced into the Congress. It's a fact. Look it up anywhere. You can look it up.
That has nothing to do with the conversation.
Of the communist,
you said
yes,
racism
it does.
Is basically based on one party. I'm telling you,
but
racism
it's racism.
Is based on both parties. Like, get out of here with that.
No, there's racism. There's racism on both parties, but I think the predominant racism is on the Democratic side. Let me rephrase. The liberal side, because the liberals tend to want, they want to make the country just deteriorate. They don't understand it, A lot of the noobs. They don't understand. They don't understand what this country is made of. What this country. I'm looking at.
Hold on one second. No party. America. Okay. No party wants to destroy America.
Yep.
No party has a birthright
liberal.
In racism. Mm-hmm. America is a racist country, and that bleeds out through every
nonsense.
And system of America. I mean, you can study that. It's not hard to figure
that
out.
Is nonsense.
We hear that.
Are we,
look,
are
we
better
nice. From you. We hear
yes.
that. We hear
are we
that from
30,
liberals
than
all
we were
day
30
long.
Years ago? Yes. Well, I'm not
that,
a liberal,
you
brother.
Know,
so I ain't got nothing to do with what liberals say. You talk to a liberal.
No,
for that.
I'm saying we hear that from liberals all day long about how America is so racist that and everything is racist. I mean, I don't want to eat this
everything.
Dairy Queen ice cream cone, and it's got white ice cream,
somebody's
going to call me a racist.
You think that's a legitimate
argument
as opposed to, hold on. Let's do this. You think that's a legitimate argument about racism as opposed to somebody saying, okay, four times the sentencing, despite whatever the charge is, if you're a person of color, you're going to get that higher charge. Or if we look at hiring and we say, okay, college graduates from the white side are going to have, college graduates from the black side are going to have a lower retention rate than high school graduates from the white side. Like, these are the systemic issues that exist. And those are from Dems, Repubs, conservative, liberal, whatever you want to say, whatever category you want to cut it up in, those things exist. So that's a real thing. This is a problem that America needs to fix that we have never done. We tried piecemeal to fix some of these things, but we've never gotten around to fixing all of it. But we've made more progress than other countries. So, you know, we don't want to not celebrate and toot our horn on the things we have become better at. But to play that into some kind of Democrat Republican game, man.
Well, you know what? I'm
racism,
gonna say it right now.
Look,
Oregon,
racism
where I live in Oregon, is probably the most racist state in the fucking country right now. And you don't want to know why I say that? Because they dropped math and English comprehension requirements for high school because some white people in our fucking government here said, oh, it's racist to require that. Black people are incapable of being good at math and English comprehension.
Everybody,
so we better drop it as a graduation requirement or it's racist. And guess what?
Oregon
probably the most racist fucking state in the country right now.
Hold on, Lori.
Everybody's scared,
Lori. Let me give y'all a George.
Everybody's scared.
Quote.
Say their mind.
Hold on. You can say your mind. We're on this show. This is a PC-free show. But hold on. George W. Bush, the quote from George W., the one that I take from him, even though I hate that man's guts, the soft bigotry of low expectations. That's what you're talking about with that Oregon situation, where those people are so-called liberal, but they look at black people as less than and incapable. So, yeah, racism can come from that side, too. I wasn't denying that it could. That's a great point by Lori.
It's absolutely ridiculous because they're doing this with the objection of the black community. I mean, there's literally – pretty much everybody in the black community is against this policy. And yet they continued to do it. They just expanded it for four more years and ignored the objections of the black community going, what the hell is this? No way. You're not going to tell me that my son or daughter is not capable of learning math and English comprehension, you know, that it's racist to do that. And it doesn't matter. You know, our white LGBTQ plus freaking governor, you know, has determined that it's racist to require it. So, you know, what she says goes. And it's absolutely insanity.
So Lorianne, let's talk about what this really is. What this really is what they used to call juking the stats. Sarge will understand that concept as a police officer. He's heard that before. This is how you try to figure out a way to get your test scores to a certain level so you can get more federal money and also claim that you've made educational gains. So, that's a con all the way. We all see through it. That's a con.
Oh, yeah. Meanwhile, guess what just came out? Portland Public Schools are cutting their funding by $30 million. So, apparently, even dropping those requirements,
it didn't save them enough money. meanwhile, your black population is what? Meanwhile, your black population is what? 7%? Not a lot of black folks in Oregon. Especially if they ain't working for nothing.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot.
But
they're mostly concentrated in Portland, I can tell you that much.
So what do you want to do?
I think it's something like 8%.
Let me ask this question. When was the last time the black community went out and burned down a fucking city to get better education for their kids?
Well, the black community has never burned down anything as a community. Now, if you want to talk about private actors and people doing things on their own, just like everybody else, we got our share of raggedy people. Hell,
May
we're
I
human,
ask?
Just like everybody
else.
Is.
BLM.
Hold it. Let me ask.
Hello?
Let me ask.
I'm just saying.
Everybody else is,
during the summer of love, just recently, who was burning down, what community was burning down the cities?
Ah, I'm glad you asked me that. So if everybody can pull up Google, and I want you to go to Minnesota, and I want you to put in Boogaloo Boys, and you'll find out those are the people that burned down the police station and multiple businesses in Minnesota in order to blame BLM. And look, I'm going to get Sarge on this, too, because this is the problem.
Oh,
y'all talk about BLM as if they're the Black Panthers. BLM is majority college student activist people who did their marching during the daytime. Most of them went home. But at night, when it really got tough, that's when the other guys came out. The people,
dude, they got bust in. They got
what
bust
other,
in by
what
door.
What other guys?
Come on.
Well, like,
what other
off,
guys?
Get off it.
They
got
bust
in.
Get out of here.
Nice. What other guys?
They got bust
in. What other guys?
They were paying
nothing.
What other guys?
The criminal element that shows up in every activist event in order to get them some free stuff.
Oh, so there's
okay,
a criminal element in BLM.
And what color skin does that criminal element have?
Brother, hold on, because you're trying to turn this into this black-white thing. So the people on January 6th, there were some people there who were patriots who just wanted to show that their disdain for the election cycle and that they didn't agree with what was going on. And then there were some people
most
who were willing to do what? Now, do you paint all of them with the same brush? I didn't think so. Yeah,
most
so
all were patriots.
The Democrats,
the Democrats do. Protest.
The Democrats do.
I'm not responsible for what the Democrats do. I'm responsible for what I say.
The cops let them in.
The
I mean, come
do.
On.
The federal government did
videos?
That with the January 6th protesters, and that was only one day. They were all the same in the eyes of the FBI and the Department of Justice.
So
and they're still locked
up. So you think
it's
wrong for them to do that? So you think that's wrong for them to do that?
And they're still locked up, right?
No, simple question. Do y'all think that's wrong for them to do that?
There were over 800,000 people there on the Capitol that day. Maybe 800 to 1,000 were involved in riotous activities. Yet and still, the Justice Department painted them all with the same brush.
Okay, so why would y'all do that same thing to BLM if y'all didn't like
I know how to focus on what the problem is. I saw hundreds of hours of video in the various cities. I think I can effectively and fairly characterize it.
There's one side that were burning things and torching cars and stuff, and there another side that was kind of walking through the Capitol, and the guards were escorting them and showing them where everything was and that kind of thing and opening the doors for them. So there was two sides to that. That's wrong.
Do you have data for that, or are you pulling that out your ass?
I got thousands of hours of video released by the Speaker of the House.
That's what I got.
I got thousands of hours of video, and I can see it for myself, and so can you if you take the blinders off and look at it.
Hold on. We could pull up the data from those marches in 2020. What you'll find is 98% of those marches were peaceful, quiet. They happened damn near in every city in America. Wasn't a problem. You guys remember the flashpoint and then trying to paint the same brush on everybody else. Now, when it comes to January 6th, y'all not willing to do that. Y'all willing to give the benefit of the doubt and look into the data because y'all know better.
Peaceful protest when the CNN guy is saying, oh, this is a peaceful protest, and right behind him is a whole car and a whole city on fire.
Yeah, you should stay
I mean,
of
come
Facebook.
On. I ain't getting that off Facebook.
Get better,
dude. You need to read.
I spent 120 days that year watching live stream videos every fucking night.
And
good job. Right, okay.
And cities were on fire.
Cities were on fire. My God, y'all so dramatic.
Yeah, but the people January 6th went to jail. You know how many people went to jail for BLM?
A lot of people. Matter of fact, they had bail funds, which they're trying to make illegal in multiple states. That's the big government shit y'all don't talk about, because for the most part, conservatives only talk about big government in idealistic ways. They don't talk about actual function and try to stop the stuff. So down here in Georgia, they're trying to put in a law to where you can't have bail funds for multiple people.
Let me ask you this question. What did Kamala Harris do during the Summer of Love?
Well, I mean, you keep doing this Summer of Love thing sarcastically. Actually, it was a summer of retribution. It was people saying, look,
this police brutality, not respecting people's rights
will not stand.
I asked you, you didn't answer my question, Naj. I asked you, what did Kamala Harris do during the Summer of Love?
Yeah, so again, I'm not even accepting your little Summer of Love. I guess it's supposed to be funny, but it's really not. But Kamala Harris wasn't the vice president at the time.
What did Kamala want her to do? What did Kamala Harris do?
You already asked me that. What did you want Kamala Harris to do?
But you never answered
Kamala
it,
Harris
huh?
can stop protests?
I asked you, what did she do?
Kamala Harris, prosecutor in California, became a senator. And what do you think she would be capable of doing during a summer of unrest about police brutality when they seen a man get killed on camera on live stream?
When young folks went out
in the streets, COVID and everything else going on, they still went out there and protested, which is their right as Americans. But you guys, somehow, all of a sudden, y'all don't believe in protest. This is the cowardice of conservatism.
What did Kamala Harris do?
I don't know, don't care. Why do you don't know and you don't care?
Would you like to have the answer of what she did?
Sure he would. Go ahead.
Just give it to us, please.
Kamala Harris was actively involved in making sure that everybody that got arrested for breaking the law during the Summer of Love was bailed out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
Free. Paid for, actually, by the government.
And actually, it was paid for by us.
Is that right, Naj? Yep.
I muted him because he wouldn't be quiet for a second.
Is that the right way to do things, Naj?
Okay, now answer, Naj.
Yeah, well, I'm not a coward, so I don't mute people when we're having a discussion when I can't make a point that's actually relevant. So, no, Kamala Harris didn't bail anybody out. They had bail funds all across the country. That's what actually happened.
You deny it.
Well, hold on before you do that. Let me speak before
well,
you
no,
speak.
Well, no, do you deny it or not? Do you deny it or not?
Shut it up. Let me make my point. And we can have a discussion. But if y'all going to play the mute game and the coward game where you ask a question then press mute and act like I'm not responding, like a sucker would do, I wouldn't do that. But let's get into this.
Kind of like the shows that you're on all the time, huh?
That's funny. I give it to you. I can't knock that. That's funny. So Kamala Harris, who was a prosecutor who went really hard against black people, damn near was locking up black parents for the actions of their teens, and y'all want to present her as some kind of revolutionary. First of all, Kamala Harris would never bail out anybody arrested for a criminal offense. What you had in those cities were bail funds, where people through mutual aid put their money together. You would write the lawyer's name on your arm before you got arrested during the protest, and then later on, after they figured out who all was in locked up, they would bail everybody out. Now, the thing about BLM, and y'all got to remember this, the headquarters of BLM, those were the grifters. Those were the people who stole all the money. But the people on the ground, the people who actually went out there and faced the police and got hit with batons and tear gas and everything else, they had nothing to do with that money. They didn't see any of that money. They were just concerned citizens who had had enough. And when I see conservatives who always talk about they got a problem with big government, when I see y'all immediately go to the other side when it's a black issue, to me, again, that's cowardice. Y'all in there.
Well, you know, Kamala Harris was going around on her knees, blowing everybody she could to get money to go into those funds.
Yeah, you're just lying now at this point. Sarge, tell them who Kamala Harris is. She's not a friend of black people. She's definitely not a friend of black people in the street who are organizing against the police, who she, as the top cop in California, was locking up black folks left and right. Like,
all right, first of all, let's get factually correct what Kamala Harris did during the summer of love.
And the DAs in her county were letting them loose left and right.
Let's get factually correct what she did with regard to the summer of love and bail for the rioters arrested during the protest. She tweeted support for the Minnesota Freedom Fund, saying contribute to the Minnesota Freedom Fund because it will enable support for those arrested and enable them to get bail. That's what she did. That's not an exaggeration. Those are the factual details of what she did.
That's what she did.
Exactly. So, again, she didn't bail anybody.
Now, wait, do you disagree with anything
she
I just said?
Contribute. No.
Do you disagree with anything I just said?
That's not what he said. He said she said she bailed them out. I said she didn't contribute to anything.
All right, well, I think I just set the record straight, and that's damning enough as far as I'm concerned, and most people.
Well, come on, man.
Hey,
Sarge,
Nash,
you know who
if I let me put it to you this way. If I give you $1,000 to go bail Sarge out of fucking jail, did I bail him out or did you bail him out?
Well, you did, but the problem is she didn't give any money. Sending a retweet because it would play well for her as far as presenting herself as a Democrat. Like, how do y'all not see the con here? This is, Kamala Harris, as a civil servant, was a straight-up who she is. And you guys are trying to make her
she was a joke. She
what
was
is
a
wrong
joke.
She was
a joke.
No,
she still is.
She was a joke.
She ran.
Come on,
no,
dude.
She ran.
Look at her record. She was a
you
joke.
You don't know the history. What do you know about her record? Because me and you going to get this straight right now. Y'all make claims that don't have facts to back them up.
I can.
You better laugh.
Wait, no.
Let me hear the claim.
I don't need claims. She was a joke.
Exactly.
She is a joke now.
That's what
because she couldn't get anybody convicted for laughing the way she does.
Her job as the wine mom of the administration is hilarious. She's clearly on something. I don't know what it is, but that woman is joyful as hell. But let me tell you who she
well,
is.
Well, we don't.
In
Biden's on something
Sarge,
too,
oh,
but
oh,
we
oh,
don't
oh,
know
oh.
what it is.
Well, of course she's on something.
She's still smoking dope and listening to Bob Farley or whoever that
Bob
person
Farley?
Was,
Bob
or
Farley?
Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg or somebody.
I think she's listening to Jim Carrey where he
did
laughs all the
time.
Did
you get beat up in high school? Bob Farley. Get out of here. So Kamala Harris ran in California on a tough on crime platform. That's how she got elected. Then when she was elected, you know what she did? She went after them black folks in her area with abandon, sending people to jail. So y'all playing this little game where you trying to present it like she was, you know, she had a good ear to the folks in the city.
Uh-huh.
No, she did not. She hated those people.
She ran on the platform shoes of Willie Brown.
The platform shoes of Willie Brown. See what I'm saying? Y'all just say shit. So let's imagine a placard or a flyer that you put on somebody's house. Hey, I'm running on the platform of Willie Brown. No, in reality, she ran on tough on crime. Tired of all the crime in your neighborhood? Elect me. I'll be tough on them. And when she got in there, she was giving people years like free lunch. That's who Kamala is. See, I don't play these little games y'all play with this emotion and shit. I get to the facts of the issue and let it be what it is.
Okay. I let it be as it is, as she's on Willie Brown.
Well, you know, the one thing about Kamala Harris was she was given a job as the so-called border czar, and she has not been to the border yet. She's been all over the world, practically, but she hasn't been to that border.
Two easily disprovable lies. You can pull up a picture of Kamala on the border with the flag jacket on, with Border Patrol, walking around and pointing, as politicians do, and then immediately getting in her car and leaving. Like, why do you think that's substantial that she went to the border? When Ted Cruz goes to the border, do y'all think he's doing work?
No, it doesn't matter. He's been there.
So is Kamala. It doesn't mean anything. So I'm trying to tell you.
Kamala didn't actually go to the border. She went to Texas, like an hour and a half away from the border.
Yep, exactly.
Ted Cruz can articulate the problems at the border articulately and with great detail. Kamala Harris is a vapid, puerile simpleton who smoked too much high THC marijuana.
Well, she's not a simpleton. I won't say that. I just think she's evil, but she's not a simpleton.
I don't understand. What kind of American would not want the border secure? What kind of American would not want the border secure?
Ted Cruz and Greg Abbott, because that way they can get y'all blood boiling and run it every election cycle for y'all to vote for them, but not actually fix it. So Ted Cruz is a senator in Texas. What could he do politically and legislatively on the border in actual real terms, as opposed to going down there with a hat on and taking a picture?
What do you suggest should be done? What do you suggest?
She
said her bailiwick was not fixing the border. It was addressing the root causes for the immigration. Therefore, she absolved herself of her failure to produce any results to fix the border, by saying my portfolio was simply to address the root causes of the migration.
I agree, sir.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
She went down. Biden could do that tomorrow. He could do tonight.
And
he went down and negotiated.
And then y'all would say he's a damn dictator ruling by executive order. Y'all can't have it both ways.
She went down to South America,
Laredo,
and negotiated,
yeah, Laredo.
And negotiated on the border for the border, so that we made sure that Venezuela and those countries down there could ship their prisoners out of their prisons and send them up here.
Okay, that's nonsense. So Trump's escalation
That's exactly what happened.
Not nonsense. It is reality, dude.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what actually happened.
No,
so during the Trump administration,
because your reality doesn't mesh with mine.
Yeah, you don't read.
I'm just saying, your reality doesn't mesh with mine. You're talking all this highfalutin stuff about Kamala. And look, Kamala, you know. Huh?
Reading is required. These aren't opinions I'm giving you. So during the Trump administration, Juan Guaido was the guy we wanted to replace Maduro with. So we were going to overthrow Venezuela. The coup didn't work. Juan Guaido was on the run. Yeah, this happened.
It's not Venezuela I'm worried about. It's China, Russia. That's who the people I'm worried about. And it's some of the Saudi Arabian countries.
Now.
Again, no common sense whatsoever.
Absolutely. You know, because
They've outlawed that. I'm sorry, but that's been outlawed. You're not allowed to have it. If you have it and happen to exhibit common sense, you're a terrorist.
Or a Nazi.
Yep. We are coming up on right now the end of the third hour, which means we're going to be going into no man's land.
Bonus.
Well, I think no man's land for Bing is going to be in the bed. I enjoy the conversation, even the deal with Naz there, which, you know, he's better than the other guy that used to mess with me. I'd just ban him, but at least he's got something to say. But, yeah, Robert, thank you, and good night to all of you.
Bing, good to meet you tonight.
Bing.
I have my show on Sunday night with the Libertarian. God, you're invited to join. Naj as well. You're always welcome to join.
Is that Sunday?
Bing.
It's Saturday.
Yeah, Sunday night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sunday. Sundays with the Libertarian right here on Blog Talk, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Yep.
Okay, cool. If I'm available, I'll be there.
Cool.
Yes, boys.
Hey, Bing. All I want to say, it was wonderful to hear your voice again.
Yes,
been
it was.
Oh, thanks. Even though it's on a cell phone, you know, I mean, I've tried to get another thing going, but it wasn't working, so I got to deal with that. But no problem. I'll figure it out. I'm an engineer. I'm Joe Biden in disguise.
Yeah.
All I need is ice cream. I'll get it figured out. You know, and maybe some young girls so I can sniff her here.
Well, it was good to have you.
And don't forget growth.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
And don't forget growth.
Yeah, I got a
growth.
I got a growth.
Right under
her
boob.
Yeah. People say, well, how are you feeling today? I say, well, no, I ain't feeling nobody yet, but you know. But yeah, we'll do something here, and I'll try to see if I can get on your show there, Lori, Sunday.
Right on, you are welcome. Most of the crew here shows up, so it's always a good time.
Well, thank you, ma'am, and thank you for all y'all. And it was pretty good conversation. I mean, I don't know how it went, but it was pretty cool. Thank you. And good night, Tom.
Good night.
God bless.
God
save this nation. God save this nation.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here, Bing. Okay. Well, we are now getting ready to go into no man's land, I think. I have to be at work in the morning again, one of these things.
Oh,
they do this to me every once in a while.
Oh, Robert.
Robert, it's time for you to go on strike.
Yes, I think so, too. I should go back to being retired.
I don't think there's going to be such a thing, you know. Only the uber wealthy will have such a thing called retirement. Otherwise, for the rest of us, there'll be no such thing.
Yeah, work till you're dead.
Well, I was retired for a little while, and then I had to go back to work because things got too expensive.
Yeah.
And we just lost the switchboard, so...
So everybody manage the mute button on your phone.
Absolutely. When it came to Naj, I just finally had to just shut him down. So
he called you a coward, Robert. I was ready. I was like, "Yeah, come on, man."
Well, there, you know, that's what I engage.
I look at that as a badge of honor. He called me a coward for you know, essentially trying to tell the truth and trying to get the truth out there, and he wouldn't allow it. So.
We know who the real cowards are in America. They're the liberals, the libtards.
Yeah.
They got nothing, 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 nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
Oh, they have something all right. They have chaos. They have anarchy. They have cultural degeneration. They have lunacy. They have madness. They have irrationality. They have destruction of the Constitutional Republic. They got a lot. They don't have a damn thing to offer that's worth a damn for the improvement of the country. Not anything.
They got no honor. They got no honor, no respect.
So let's be clear about what they have to offer this country. And if they gain total ascendancy, we will be heading for the end of the world as we know it, insofar as the existence of a constitutional republic is concerned.
They want that. They want that, Sarge.
They want it. Yes, they do. There's no doubt in my mind whatsoever. I used to think that was over the top to say things like I'm saying now, but I'm sorry, I've been studying these people too damn long. I'm hearing what they hope for as policy. And again, this she's on the fringe even for the Democratic Party right now. But she got up there in California, Barbara Lee. Barbara Lee says that California needs to have a minimum wage for anybody of $50 an hour. That comes out to a 40-hour work week of $104,000 for somebody who flips burgers in a fast food restaurant. $104,000 a year. Now, how many fast food joints do you think would hire? How many burger flippers are they going to hire at $104,000 a year? Zero.
Yep.
And if they have to do it, they'll just go out of business. That means nobody gets hired. These people are insane. They have magical thinking. They think like magic. Like magic. They pass a law, and voila, it shall be. Now, let me say it again. She is on the fringe of the Democratic Party with regard to that right now. But believe me, like most infectious ideas that are like a plague, it will multiply exponentially in the Democratic Party and infect everybody in that godforsaken outfit. Just give it time. And not enough challenge. $50 an hour. People are insane.
Yep. They definitely
are. She's there with straight face. She's right there at the senatorial debate with Steve Garvey, and I forget who the other woman was. Actually serious. My Californians need a $50 an hour minimum wage. Well, what the hell is the maximum then? If you got to pay every worker $50 an hour minimum coming in, I guess the average wage of a Californian could be, what, $150 an hour? These people are insane.
Yep, and then they can't understand when they raise the wages like that, then the companies have to raise the price of everything else so they can pay for this. Then
or they go out of business.
Say, you can't.
Or they hire fewer people. Or they reduce what you get to buy. They shrinkflate like this idiot Biden says they're doing. I mean, there are no consequences to them virtue signaling with our votes.
Yep.
Insane
well,
in the membrane.
All these places will be automated, fully automated. Nobody on staff. Don't hire a single fucking person.
That's
and just have it fully
ticket.
Automated.
There you go.
That's why they're doing it.
They just, whatever pops out their little addled heads, they just throw it out there as it's supposed to be instantly public policy. And Lord have mercy, don't you dare disagree or they start calling your name.
Yep. Absolutely.
Night-night, Robert.
Night-night. I'm still here.
Haven't gone to bed yet.
I haven't gone to bed yet, but it's,
he's not getting California minimum wage, so
no,
he don't have to be sharp when he goes in.
Yeah, I'm only getting 13 an hour.
Oh God, that's it.
That's it. Of course, I'm not living in California either.
When I landscape, I used to charge $25 a man, but
yeah.
Now it's going on. Then I moved it up, and basically the average is out. Like I did a job, I kept a few of my customers. Like I did a job at the veterinarian clinic about a week ago, and I charged her $245 for 45 minutes, me and one person.
Yeah.
So that's about what the going rate is now, $250
yep.
minimum.
That's
just
some crepe myrtles,
Yep.
I used to charge $25 for a service call for electrical work back in the day. Now
oh, God.
$250 to $300.
Yeah.
Back then, a lot. I mean, the $25, hell, you got me for an hour, so $25 an hour, that wasn't too bad,
Oh, wow.
Today,
yeah, remember those days.
Look, an employee is supposed to be paid commensurate with the value they bring to the company and to the price the consumer is willing to pay for the good of the service. You take the good of the service provided. You balance those together, and you then, the field or the job should determine what that worker should earn. Again, the value they bring and what the market will bear for this good or service that is offered. And it's variable. It isn't fixed. That's what Adam Smith was talking about with the invisible hand and with free market prices. It works infinitely better than any government-directed scheme. It always has. It always does. Because it springs and naturally owing to the natural interplay of one person to another. Hey, you got something I want? I'm willing to pay for it. Let's kind of negotiate about it.
Well, a truck, when you have a service truck, they say the IRS is supposed to be 57 cents a mile. That's what the IRS says. 57. When you start that truck up, it's 57 cents a mile to get to a customer's house. So that's what you got to figure out for your mileage. With gas, tires, expenses, whatnot, as far as the vehicle goes.
Well, how does the
now
government
the man
how does the government figure that out?
The
what
IRS
if you
did that.
What if you live in an area that's got a lot of hills? And your truck's got to go up and down a lot of hills. It uses more gas. Well,
no,
is this a fixed
not
thing?
Really.
Like we got one geography everywhere in the country?
I don't think you can burn more gas.
You do. When you go up and down a lot of hills, you use more gas. It's requirement of the internal combustion engine.
It averages out. It averages out.
My gas mileage, when I am driving through the mountains and twisty, curvy roads and everything, goes way down compared to just driving in an alley on the freeway. There is a remarkable difference between the two.
You're driving, but you're driving at leisure, not to a customer.
It's simple physics. It has to.
So if you drive to a customer going uphill, you're going to go downhill on the way back. So it averages out.
Not always. Again, it depends on the terrain.
No, it don't. Because I spent 10 years running my own business. I was running three service trucks all over Dallas-Fort Worth. No. No. You're going to pay for it, especially with the gas. I mean, back then, hell, gas was 95 cents a gallon. Okay. Look at it now. And look at the tires. I mean, tires back then, hell, you go get a fucking tire for $40. Now it's going to cost you $140 for the same tire. Yeah, it's a zillion times more expensive today.
The government come up with these arbitrary figures on things, but they don't take into account the individual circumstances of the individual businessman. I'm telling you, man, that's the problem with these government edicts.
Oh, yeah.
Just like $18 million for Mar-a-Lago.
Remember the...
Mar-a-Lago.
Remember
only
the days of like Valvoline oil change for, you know, $29.99? Those are long gone. I was looking the other day, and it was a special for $60. I'm like, what the hell? For Valvoline oil change, like probably one of the worst fucking places you can go to for an oil change, when they're charging $60. Oh my god.
Yeah, actually it's $53 to do an oil change here. $53. I took my mother's van up to some place in Greensboro with $53.
I'm a self mechanic. I do the thing self. Never have anybody change my oil.
No, same here. You have no idea how much money it can save you to be able to do your own mechanical work. I'm just talking about just basic maintenance.
Time,
I'm not
time.
Talking about advanced work. If you got to do advanced work, you literally save tens of thousands of dollars. But just basic maintenance, you can save thousands of dollars a year. You know how to do it.
I do my own maintenance.
Good one.
But, you know, I used to own an auto repair shop, so I know how to rebuild engines, transmissions, old differentials. I know how to do it. But like I said, you know, I really feel bad for people that ain't getting gouged by these auto repair prices. I really do. It is god-awful idiot, the prices they're charging.
And you can do it yourself, but you're screwed if you live in an apartment or an HOA that says, nope, you can't do it.
Just think about what you're gonna have to have. You want to be able to reliably charge your car, you're gonna have to have a garage. You can't rely on a public charger to be able to fulfill your needs. You're gonna have to have your own garage with your own charging port in it. And who can afford a house these days?
Democrats don't think about that one.
No, they don't think about anything but their agenda. They don't care about us. They hate us. They despise us. They have absolute contempt for us. And it's evident in every one of their policies.
Absolutely.
There's only one regulation that I want to see the government implement. And that regulation is regulate the amount of sand that